hearing revolution in the air.
Tonight. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound, that's the blow that the blow made.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, tell me, brother.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And if you want to email me, that's so simple. revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up. Get up, get to me. Oh, my goodness, we have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get up, get to me. Where do we begin today? Do we talk about Dick Cheney? Do we talk about the fact that Dick Cheney is going out here? I don't know. Is this just karma? You're out here in the world, rattling your saber. We need more support in this war. We need more support in this war. And then a suicide bomber blew himself up outside of the military base during a visit by Dick Cheney, killing more than 15 people. This right outside where Dick Cheney is. When was the last time that we actually had this kind of madness going on? This kind of madness going on when our the heads of our country visit other countries. People blowing themselves up and killing 15 people. And you got to ask the question. They say Dick Cheney was not harmed. I got to ask the question. I wonder. Are we going to have some serious bunker time now? A guy blew himself up and killed 15 people, and he did it at the gate of the primary U.S. military base in Afghanistan. How do you know he was there? My name is Liz Brown. Oh, we got stuff to talk about. Stay with me.
Congressman Lacey Clay asking for your vote on March 6th to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson. A vote for Williamson is a vote for continued progress, continued redevelopment, and safer neighborhoods. He is my choice and the right choice to continue leading the ward. Alderman Frank Williamson has earned the right to be your alderman for another 4 years. Vote to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson on March 6th.
Paid for by Committee to Re-elect Frank Williamson, Thelma Williamson Treasurer.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Nothing can be truer than the phrase, all politics is local. That's why Liz Brown is adding the Aldermanic Watch to the award-winning Wake Up Calls lineup. Every Monday at 7 a.m., Liz will be joined by Alderman Lewis Reed to discuss the comings and goings of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. Do you want to know the latest bill passed? Do you want to know why it passed? And do you want to know who voted for and who voted against? Well, you're going to have to join Liz Brown when she talks Aldermanic politics with Alderman Lewis Reed every Monday at 7 a.m. Lewis Reed is going to bring local politics up close and personal, and you never know who else will be joining the discussion. The Aldermanic Watch, every Monday at 7 a.m., only on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Be in the know as you're on the go with Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Don't you look down. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I want to really try to underscore this what is happening here in our I really want to find out I really want to make a point here with this bomb that blew up at a U.S. base in Afghanistan while Cheney was there. Because the fact of the matter is that this has to represent a serious security breach. A security breach of the most amazing kind. And we're getting all kinds of conflicting stories. We have one report said that only a couple of people were killed. A spokesman for the Afghan Interior Ministry said that more than 15 people were killed without saying who were foreigners and who were Afghans and how many American soldiers. The initial reports said that 4 people were killed and 23 were wounded. Another report says that 20 people were killed and 30 were injured, the majority of them U.S. soldiers. 1 hour before the attack, Cheney met with soldiers stationed at the base and had breakfast with them. So what happened to the radio silence? What happened to people weren't supposed to know that Dick Cheney was at the base? Huh. Huh. How did he get that close? How did he get that close? And mind you, this is an attack that came after another suicide bomber killed himself and a police officer. I guess the question the observation is this. Oh, it's not enough that we're in a civil war in Iraq. And it's not enough that we're losing a war in Iraq. But now I guess the world is going to see how much we're losing the war in Afghanistan. +1 877 920 WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Michael.
I was wondering, I wish you asked Dick Cheney this question. How does it feel to be at the other end?
Me being attacked?
Yes.
You know, and we have to ask the question of what it means that they did do this. And how did they get the intelligence to do this? How did they know to be there? And how many of our soldiers were killed? Because clearly we weren't prepared for this. How did they get that close?
Somebody, it's either an inside job or he was just advertised. You know how arrogant he is.
No, they duck and cover when they get to Afghanistan and Iraq. No, they're not looking for? They do not swagger down the middle of the street in Baghdad. Remember, they left their helicopter running the last time Bush was there, and they ducked in and ducked out, and they turned all the electricity off so that they couldn't see him. No, they don't swagger in Baghdad or Afghanistan.
Well, my mom used to say, when you knock at the devil's door, somebody's going, you keep knocking and somebody will answer you.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. More than 1,000 military personnel sign a petition saying, get us out of here. Get us out of here. WGNU get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
How are you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding, Tim. How are you?
I'm okay. I want to say, when is the last time that, you know, this type of stuff is happening for us, presidents happen to, you know, travel by secret like this?
I don't know, Tim. I think that that's a good question. You know, what does it say, the fact that they do have to travel with that kind of secrecy? I mean, it's one thing, of course, to travel with security in mind. I understand that a president was assassinated on American soil. I get that. And another one was shot on American soil. I get that. But under complete cover of darkness, that feels different, doesn't it?
Yeah, it feels a lot to do. I mean, I don't understand how, you know, a country, especially a president and a vice president, to blow off so much steam and talk with their chest stuck out, but then again, you have to, you know, you have to be so secretive and flat under the dark and all that. But this is a real, real, real serious thing for, you know, someone. And you got to understand something, for someone to blow themselves up when you're, and basically, make no mistake, the suicide bomb was far away from him, at least about 50, they say a half mile to a mile away from him. But at least the attempt on that and the security breach is very serious.
Do you believe that? That he was only a mile away from him?
Well, I can't say what I really believe, you know, on air. But personally, I really do, you know, I just think it's a serious issue. That really do.
I agree that it is a hugely serious issue, and it's one that is just prone to people lying all day about how it really went down.
Yeah.
How did he get that close? And if he got that close, I think he was closer. If they're reporting that he was that close, mm-hmm. he got a lot closer.
And one more thing I want to end with this, Liz. In the Quran, it teaches us that, you know, Shaitan, which is the devil, threatens you with poverty. And I look at Bush, I mean, with Cheney, he went to Pakistan and told Pakistan, if, you know, you don't step up your, you know, your security, then I'm going to pull my aid from you. And it's a shame how America dangles money over, you know, dangles the dollar over people's heads.
And remember, he's talking to a dictator.
Right.
The head of Pakistan is a dictator.
With nuclear arms.
And with billions of dollars. Pakistan has gotten billions of dollars since this war began.
Billions.
How are schools doing out there?
I think it's a shame.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks a lot, Leah.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. Yeah, you need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Here's the thing. Let me just... I want to talk about this. Dick Cheney has bombs being blown up not too far away from him. We have soldiers that over 1,000 military personnel signing a petition to end this war. I think that lessons have been learned from this situation, right? And I'm always one to try to find the proof of the lessons being learned. What is the proof of the lessons being learned here? Well, let's look at, if we were wrong to preemptively strike Iraq, where George Bush is lying about what Iran is doing, that it's not to be trusted, that generals are saying that it's not to be, that what's going on in Iran is not what the Bush administration wants us to believe, then let's see if lessons have been learned by looking at what the people that want to be the president of the United States, what they're saying about Iran. Hillary Clinton, at the AIPAC annual convention at the end of January, with respect to Iran, she says, in dealing with this threat, no option can be taken off the table. Jesus. John Edwards, what'd he say? Barack, what'd he say? Oh, we're going to talk about that when we get back, because no option is going to be taken off the table in this discussion. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and weather for the 6 o'clock hour. Eastbound 40 approaching Maryville Center all the way through Mason. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 64 from St. Clair Clinton County line through 161. Look for an accident reported at 161. Vehicle spun out. Expect some slow traffic there. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. Look for some delays. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into Graham Hanley. Traffic's building. Northbound 270 at 44 through Doherty Ferry. Look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 from Lindbergh through McKnight. Look for some delays as well. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 270-255 overpass. Look for some delays around that exchange. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. Look for some slowdowns around the 270 interchange. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. It looks good from Minspan on in. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the landing all the way back through the Illinois line is running smoothly. Northbound Route 3, that ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge is moving well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, look forward to mostly sunny skies, high around 50 this evening. Partly cloudy till early morning, becoming mostly cloudy, low in the lower 30s. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy, high in the mid-50s. Wednesday evening, showers and thunderstorms are likely with low in the upper 40s. Then on Thursday, breezy showers and thunderstorms continue, high in the 60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 29 degrees and clouds. Lambert Fields reporting 30 and some clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hey, girl. You made it just in time. Pastor's getting ready to storm.
Girl, I really needed to be here this Sunday.
What happened?
You didn't hear?
Uh-uh.
Well, last week, Jennifer Florida, you know, the older woman?
Mm-hmm.
Her son went into the hospital for brain surgery.
Oh, my God. How old is he?
12 or 13. That's not the worst part. Girl, the worst part is that a bunch of aldermen went up to Jim Shrewsbury, and they asked him to say a special prayer for the child. Because, you know, they always start their meetings with a prayer.
That's right. They asked a special prayer, too.
Yeah, well, not last week. Because that Jim Shrewsbury said no.
What? He said no to a child having brain surgery?
Girl, that's right. And they said it's just because Jennifer Florida and her ward endorsed Lewis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen.
Lord, I'm going to have to pray for Jim Shrewsbury.
Well, I'm going to pray for him, too. But I'm certainly not going to vote for him.
Amen to that.
Paid for by the 6th Ward Progressive Democrats, Paul Shannon, Treasurer.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care. Still connected to the community.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Do you feel confident about your money? If you're not sure, then join me, David Gaines, each Thursday morning from 11 to noon as we discuss the issues that affect your money on It's Your Money, presented by Heartland Bank. We'll have insightful guests discussing the topics that affect your money. That's Thursday mornings from 11 to noon for It's Your Money on 920 WGNU.
Securities offered through Securities America, Incorporated, member NASD SIPC. David Gaines, representative, Heartland Bank and Securities America are unaffiliated. Securities have no bank guarantees and are not FDIC insured and may lose value.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up, get up, get to me. Christine, good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to start out by saying taxation without representation. And why I called your show early this morning is to say that I know your listening audience know that there's an attempted takeover by the state of the St. Louis Public Schools. And the St. Louis Public School Board, they've hired a law firm to try to fight this attempted takeover. And yesterday morning, you had a caller that said that the firm had raised $40,000. For the, to assist in the, to stop the attempt to take over. And I called, and you asked him, where did he get this information? And he said from Channel 2. And I called Channel 2, and they looked over their records for Sunday and Monday, and they said they had made no such announcement of anything about any firm raising $40,000. And I would just wonder, why would someone call your show with some misinformation like that? Why would they take the time to call your show to put out that disinformation, misinformation? And it might prove to be a right and out mendacity. Do you understand why someone would do something like that?
Well, I think, you know, there are all kinds of speculations out there of why somebody would do that. One, they could have been mistaken. Two, it could be an intentional act. Three, it could have been something that was done with a plan in mind. Or it could have just been a mistake that they heard 4,000 and thought that was 40,000. Because I've heard people say on my radio things that I have not said, but they swear up and down that's exactly what has been said. So I'm going to I don't know.
But my just my opinion is that they're sleuths, and that's LLU, which stands for self-loathing Uggs.
All right.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get up, get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Good, good. And, Liz, you know what? This is the thing. I'm the one that called you yesterday.
Oh, okay.
When Channel 2 reported that, first thing I thought about, I said to myself, I said, now, why would the Channel 2 make a statement like that? I said, they couldn't raise the money already. I said, maybe they knew they were talking about. Liz, you know and I know, KTVI Channel 2 was a racist station. I thought about my observation was they said that so people could stop making donations.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, therefore, people said, well, they got the money.
Mm-hmm.
They said that this weekend, Liz. I would not call your show with no bunk.
Okay.
I would call with truth.
Okay.
They said that I'm for the lawyers. I'm for this. You know, I don't want them to take this over. A slave Shrewsbury. They got Shrewsbury on a commercial now with running, walking down the street with five black kids, putting his car out of the way, saying he put this all kind of crazy stuff. Slay, they're a bunch of crooks, Liz. They did report that, but my observation is that they did it because, of course, they're going to tell her that.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to tell her that, but that's what was reported, Liz.
Okay, I believe you.
Okay,
thanks,
Liz,
for
your
call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Morning, Liz.
Good morning, John.
I called to give an update about our bill for local control of the police.
Okay.
And I have good news to report. The bill has been scheduled for a hearing up in Jeff City, and this is on the Senate side.
Very good.
And so this hearing is tomorrow. It's in a committee called Economic Development, Tourism, and Local Government.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's very kind of the head of this committee to give the bill a hearing, but we also need to urge him to support the bill. And so I'm hoping people will call his office over the, you know, today and tomorrow and give him feedback, let him know that the people of St. Louis are serious.
Okay, you have a phone number and a name?
I sure do. The head of the committee is named John Griesheimer, and I could spell it Griesheimer. That's Senator John Griesheimer, and his office phone number is up in Jeff City, 573-751-3678.
36 what?
3678.
Okay.
And so, you know, if people could thank him for hearing the bill and urge his support, that would be fantastic.
Excellent. Okay, John.
Thank you. Everybody.
All right. Bye. Congratulations. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Hi, Liz. How you doing?
Hi, Juanita.
Yes, sir. I want to ask you a question. Why did the black people change to be Democrats? I was listening to Channel 24 yesterday,
mm-hmm.
how in the beginning all the Republicans had the black people in high office, and they tried to stop segregation. And they had them going to school, and then when the Democrats got in, they stopped all the black people from getting in office, and they started back segregation. And they say it took 70 years.
I don't think that either party has ever washed the bloody stain of racism off of their hands. No, neither party, Democrat nor Republican, has a long and honorable history with respect to people of African descent. Both sets of hands are bloody.
Okay.
Okay. Now, with respect to the change with the Democratic Party, it began with Roosevelt. And the changes that Roosevelt made in terms of work programs, in terms of Social Security, in terms of issues, social issues that impacted directly on the quality of life for people, that's when people of African descent began to switch over to another party.
Okay.
But in terms of neither party can hold their head up, ask Fannie Lou Hamer about the Democratic Party, and then ask anybody about the Republican Party today. So again, neither one of them have a history that is we really behind people of African descent. No, you're not.
Because so you know how you look at it. Well, see, every time the Republicans get in, whether they're bad or good, they get some black person up there. But the Democrats never have got a black person up there in Congress. You know, like especially the real, you know, that's in like
So are you telling me that there is a Republican counterpart to Maxine Waters?
No.
Are you telling me there's a Republican counterpart to John Conyers?
No.
To Barbara Lee? I can go on and on. So when you say that every time the Republicans get up there, they do what is it that they do?
Well, they get, you know, I'm just saying, like when, start off with, I know he's no good, but
well, then why we mention him if he's no good?
Yeah.
if your legacy.
I was looking at the 1800s, how rotten the Democrats was.
But again, I agree with that, but then the Republicans are rotten too. You know, neither one, I mean, I think it's a danger for any of us to engage in that kind of, they have always been good for us or they've always been better for us. That's not true. Both parties have a bloody history with respect to the community of African descent. And some of the, at different times in the history of each party, they've stumbled into doing something that's kind of right.
Mm-hmm.
But what got them there wasn't what, and they didn't stay.
Mm-hmm.
So both parties have individual acts that or both parties have a history that include individual anomalies or acts that are okay for people of African descent. But I would ask you, where is the party, both parties, platform for people of African descent? Neither one of them have a platform for that. Neither one.
Because you really don't think that the Democrats was worse.
Worse.
I'm talking about 1900s. I'm talking about 1800s.
Okay, but sure. I think they both were bad, and maybe the Democrats were worse. But okay, and the Republicans are worse. Are worse now. And I mean, you know.
I see what you mean.
What difference does it make? Because the danger in that kind of the what I'm hearing from you, Juanita, is that there's a danger of suggesting that the Republicans are somehow misunderstood as a party.
Mm-hmm.
And that the Democrats are fully understood as a party. Neither one of them. Both of them mm-hmm. have sorry legacies with respect to our community. Both of them. Both of them.
All right.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. I need to get back to this Iran piece. Stay with me.
Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
The Crescendo Concert Series presents the Baltimore Consort on Sunday at 3 p.m. This group has delighted audiences on both sides of the Atlantic, and their CDs have appeared on Billboard's Top 10 list. The ensemble will perform Renaissance music as part of the presentation, which takes place at the First United Methodist Church in St. Charles. Admission is $5 to $12. Find out more by calling 636-724-2507. Something musical for you from Radio Free St. Louis.
Are you one of those people who look at somebody who's big boned and think that's just a euphemism for Twinkie enriched? Are you sick of the idea that we can go to war in Serbia and bomb the crud out of them, but we should stay out of Iraq? If the whole entire pop culture thing, Britney Spears, Super Bowl commercials, and all that stuff gets on your nerves, well, guess what? It gets on mine, too. So if you want someone to listen and understand, listen to me, Brett Rosen, every Tuesday, 10 a.m. on WGNU, 920 a.m.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. Stephen.
Liz, I wanted to take another look at Obama, you know, how he set himself up there. You know, like he doesn't really have the same experience as the Africans of slave descendants as what we say black Americans. He, you know, he just has worn the title, but he's completely different from the Africans of slave descendants.
How so?
In that he came, he can identify exactly from Africa where he came from.
So can I.
He came over here supposedly from his father, whatever. He really has not.
That, I mean, I can identify specifically where I came from in Africa, too.
I'm not. I know maybe you say through your DNA, but
that
I
is correct.
There's really no connection.
Well, yes, there is a connection. There's a huge connection.
I'm saying you haven't really kept your culture intact and all the rest of it.
And neither
things,
has he.
Know.
What does he practice that is Kenyan? He had never been to Kenya. He had never been to Kenya until this year when he's running for the presidency.
So that's why his father came straight over here or something from Kenya.
Yeah, but again, you said I haven't kept my culture of my Nigerian culture. Fair enough. Neither he, and he has not kept his Kenyan culture. What is
he
doing?
Has a link to back.
So do I. So do I.
What I'm trying to say is, if I don't know where the Kenyans stood in the slave trade, if they were actually in conspiracy, you know, to sold out people, whatever, because it wasn't just African people selling their own people over here in America.
Okay, let's get back to your original point, Stephen, in terms of your observation that somehow a Barack Obama has a different life experience here in America than you or I, people of African descent. And I'm trying to get the specifics from you that to tell me how you reach that conclusion.
What I'm saying is because of his experience that his father has known his
he had no
he might have been brought up to know that these people
but he wasn't raised by his father.
I'm sorry then. I just put that out there that maybe, you know, he doesn't have the same like experience of us, and he could be riding on our back just to get to his political position.
And again, I for one am not impressed with Barack Obama. I for one have read what Barack Obama has said, and it makes me very uncomfortable in terms of whether or not he's going to articulate, prioritize, and deliver for people of African descent. I am not convinced of that. In fact, I believe the opposite. But with respect to the same, whether or not he has had the same life experience as I have had, as you have had, as a person of African descent, there is nothing that indicates that his life experience here has been any different than any other person of African descent.
Well, his heritage is in there's no telling what he's been taught as a child, brought out, even though he had.
But again, he was raised.
He might be holding.
But you're guessing. But you're guessing.
American slave descendants have experienced. We don't know anything.
Well, yeah, we do. We know. Yeah, we do. We know that he wasn't raised by his father. We know that.
I mean, collectively as a people, I'm just saying
you are drawing a conclusion. You are speculating as to what the difference between he and us is, and you're basing that speculation upon how he might have been raised with respect to being Kenyan. And I'm telling you that wasn't raised by his father, nor was he raised by his paternal family. So there is no evidence to get to that conclusion that you've drawn. You got to give me something else.
Well, I'll leave it alone. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, no, don't apologize. I'm just all I do every day is ask folks how you get to your conclusion. That's all. And I think it's a dangerous thing to suggest that any person of African descent, whether they were born in Nigeria and came here, whether they were born, whether their father and mother were born in Ghana and they came here, or whether they are descended, whether their connection with Africa goes back several generations. We all share the same life experience if we were raised here, whether all of us want to admit that or not. The same discriminations that take place as a result of people being of African descent are equally direct directed at a Barack Obama as it is to a Stephen. Okay? So for him, and now, and there are also people of African descent who cannot trace their African ancestry that believe worse than Barack Obama. That Clarence Thomas did, look at his life experience, or look at the decision that he's made in his life with respect to being a person of African descent. And he was born and raised here.
Right.
So there is no guarantee that simply because you are here that you're not going to make decisions that are contrary to the interests of the people that you are part of. Barack Obama's heritage, the fact that his father was Kenyan, is not enough. It's a very dangerous thing to say that simply because his daddy's Kenyan that he ain't like the rest of us. Yes, he is. He was raised here. Yes, he is. And when he's here, he's treated the same way, unless people recognize him.
Well, the reason why I further might go into stating why I ended, clarity between, American slave descendants and maybe someone that just came over from Africa. Like you say, you can identify that you're a Nigerian. But Nigerians have different tribes, and they have the Yorubas and other tribes.
I know, absolutely.
And they completely treat Yorubas different than what they treat.
But that's part of that. That's a cultural piece that we don't have those kinds of.
They consider them a different race.
Well, again, we don't.
That's what they're racist for, those people.
Again, we could have a discussion all day long about whether it's an act of racism or whether it's another type of an act. But with respect to those of us that are here in this country with this culture and these times and where we live and how we experience this world, there is no difference. If you are a person of African descent, you are subject to every single thing that a person of African descent is, unless you are someone that is of African descent and is famous or recognizable. You may not get it immediately, or it may be mass that is brought to you, brought it when it's brought to you, but it's the same thing. If people didn't know Oprah's name and she applied for a home loan like somebody, aside from the fact from being a billionaire, if they didn't know her name, she would be treated the same way.
Okay. Well, I can identify what you're doing, but
okay.
I still hold some of those values I put out there about Obama.
All right. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. And let me get to the point that I wanted to make at the beginning of this hour with respect to evaluating the people that want to be the next president and whether or not they have learned from what has happened to this country as a result of their failure with respect to Iraq. Let's look at what they are saying about Iran. Hillary Clinton has said no option is going to be taken off the table with respect to Iran. Huh? Didn't we learn anything from Iraq? John Edwards was even more vehement when he said, to ensure that Iran never gets nuclear weapons, we need to keep all options on the table. And he continued to repeat the point for emphasis. And Barack Obama, appearing on 60 Minutes, said, I think we should keep all options on the table. Huh? So here we have these same saber rattling, I'm going to bomb you into oblivion type of fury. I mean, where's the diplomatic piece of this? Where's the diplomatic component to this? And also, isn't there a risk in this? I mean, aren't we living the risk of the saber rattling? Oh, now they all say the same thing. I'm keeping my stuff on the table. Huh? My name is Liz Brown. We have much to talk about. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile.
The issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. They heard a loud boom and then they took him to a bomb shelter. That's what the Secret Service is now saying after an attack on a U.S. military base in Afghanistan where Vice President Cheney was visiting the troops. The Taliban says the vice president was the intended target of the suicide bombing. He's okay, but at least nine people were killed, including one American. ABC's Jim Dolan has more from Kabul.
Many of the injured were brought into the base where U.S. doctors worked to save their lives. The vice president left the base to meet with Afghan leaders here in Kabul concerning, terrorism, and specifically on how both sides plan on dealing with a suddenly revitalized Taliban.
Cheney is now in Oman. The bill in Iraq continues to grow more costly. Today, the Senate has a few questions for some key members of the Bush administration. More from ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
Before a Senate committee, Secretaries Rice and Gates have to defend the president's request for $100 billion to pay for operations in Iraq just through late summer, including much of the current surge. It remains unpopular. The newest ABC News Washington Post poll shows a majority of Americans, 56%, favor drawing down forces even without civil order in Iraq. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
The presidential election is still almost 2 years away, but we're already hearing from the candidates in a field that's more diverse than ever. Maybe too diverse? That's what an ABC News Washington Post poll wanted to find out. Here's ABC's Stephen Portnoy.
An overwhelming majority of Americans tell our pollsters it wouldn't matter to them if a candidate were black or a woman or even a Mormon. But nearly two-thirds say they would be less likely to vote for a candidate who's too old. John McCain turns 72 next year, and 58% of those polled say they'd be less likely to vote for someone older than 72.
A survey of just over 1,000 adults has a 3-point margin of error. This is ABC News.
Okay, heated cloth seats, all new Chrysler Sebring Touring available. Toyota Camry LE, not available. Honda Accord LX, not available. Yes, essential stain-resistant fabric, Sebring Standard, other guys, not available? Wait a minute, there's gotta be something. Oh, here we go. Steering wheel, Sebring Standard. Toyota and Honda, Standard.
The all-new Chrysler Sebring, completely redesigned inside and out with many exclusive features. As described, $21,110. MSRP excludes tax.
Sweet! I've been waiting for lunch all day!
Me too! Natalie, I'll trade my apple for your potato chips.
I don't know, Matthew, my potato chips or your cookie?
Let's see. Billy, what's that?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine!
Rich chocolate Ovaltine!
An apple and my gummy bears for the Ovaltine?
No way!
Potato chips and grape juice for the rich chocolate Ovaltine?
No way!
Two cookies, bubblegum, and my Hershey's chocolate milk?
Double no way!
Aww! More Ovaltine, please!
What can you safely take to ease your pain? That's what you may be wondering after hearing everything that you've heard about painkillers lately. And this study may not give you any answers. Here's ABC's Chuck Sievertson.
Doctors at Boston's Brigham and Women's Hospital, who led the study, looked at 16,000 male health professionals not diagnosed with hypertension for 4 years. Men who took acetaminophen, like Tylenol, most days were 34% more likely to be diagnosed with high blood pressure. Men who took aspirin were 26% more likely, and those taking naproxen, like Aleve, or ibuprofen, like Motrin, were 48% more likely. The study in the journal Archives of Internal Medicine reinforces a similar study on women. Researchers say men taking a daily aspirin on doctor's orders to reduce heart attack risk should continue as the benefits outweigh the risks. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
So we're already life can be brutal, but usually it's not this brutal. The DePaul University chapter of Delta Zeta's retired 23 sisters claiming they weren't committed. The women given the boot say it was because of their weight or ethnicity. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, the Missouri State Agriculture Director has resigned after allegations of sexual harassment. Fred Farrell was given a 2-week paid suspension and placed on employment probation following an investigation into the allegations last year. Farrell resigned at the request of Governor Matt Blunt yesterday, several days after the allegations of harassment and gender discrimination were made public. Former state employee Heather Elder had made the accusations against Farrell. Several female Democratic lawmakers complained about how long Farrell was permitted to stay on the job after the incident. Matt Boatwright will serve as interim director in Farrell's place. St. Louis's first black comptroller has died. 80-year-old John Bass passed away on Sunday. He was the first African American to serve as the city's chief fiscal officer, holding the job of comptroller from 1973 to 1977. He also served on the state Senate and worked for committees in the U.S. House of Representatives as a staff member. Funeral arrangements are not yet finalized. Finally this hour, the Cardinals' new second baseman may miss the team's spring training opener. Adam Kennedy says that he's battling some soreness in his right side, but is still working out on the field. Kennedy took part in an inter-squad game yesterday, but was the only player in the game who didn't bat. Kennedy is unsure whether he will play against the Florida Marlins tomorrow, but says he has just been taking it easy for a few days to deal with the pain. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and weather for the 7 o'clock hour. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on the Poplar Street Bridge looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well from Midspan and Laclede's Landing. Northbound 270 from Clayton through Ladue, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at Gravoy and Doherty Ferry, you've got slow volume there as well. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79, look for slowdowns. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason, and then again from Lindbergh through McKnight, you can expect some delays. Northbound 270 at Dorset all the way into 70, look for heavy volume in those 70 exit lanes. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 270 is on the move, but you've got heavy volume right at around the 255-270 interchange. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270, look for some delays around that interchange as well. And westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through Graham Hanley, look for some slowdowns. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Or for Thursday, excuse me. For today, mostly sunny, high around 50 this evening, partly cloudy till early morning, becoming mostly cloudy, low in the lower 30s. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy, high in the mid-50s. Wednesday evening, showers and thunderstorms likely with a low in the upper 40s. And on Thursday, breezy showers and thunderstorms likely with a high around 60. Currently, we have clear skies and 30 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting some clouds and 30 degrees as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Tonight in Memphis.
another thing that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, there's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel me, brothers. Help me, sisters.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemy of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
citizenship. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. You need to get up, you need to get to me. My name is Liz Brown. We have a whole lot of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And email me at revolution@... LizBrown.com. That's revolution@LizBrown.com. Get up, get up, get to me. Senator John Bass passed away, I believe, on Sunday. 80 years old. He was St. Louis's first comptroller of African descent. And I, you know what, I think I would like to, I think I would like to maybe spend some time later this week talking about the legacy of John Bass. Because there's a lot of history out here that is important for us to keep hold of and utilize in terms of where we are right now and where we should be going. We can't forget the battles that have been fought prior to our getting here. We can't do that because they prepare us for the battles that are coming at us. And I think that's one of the challenges that of all of us as we look at the history, and particularly the history of the community of African descent, simply because there were battles that were before us does not mean that there aren't going to be battles ahead of us. And I think that's something that some of us, you know, succumb to. Oh, well, that was the battle then. We're done. No, we're not. Not by a long sight. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Feel calm.
confident about your money? If you're not sure, then join me, David Gaines, each Thursday morning from 11 to noon as we discuss the issues that affect your money on It's Your Money, presented by Heartland Bank. We'll have insightful guests discussing the topics that affect your money. That's Thursday mornings from 11 to noon for It's Your Money on 920 WGNU.
Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member NASD SIPC. David Gaines, representative, Heartland Bank and Securities America are unaffiliated. Securities have no bank guarantees and are not FDIC insured and may lose value.
This is your Congressman, Lacey Clay, asking for your vote on March 6th to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson. A vote for Williamson is a vote for continued progress, continued redevelopment, and safer neighborhoods. He is my choice and the right choice to continue leading the ward. Alderman Frank Williamson has earned the right to be your alderman for another 4 years. Vote to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson on March 6th.
Paid for by Committee to Re-elect Frank Williamson, Thelma Williamson Treasurer.
Are you one of those people who look at somebody who's big boned and think that's just a euphemism for Twinkie enriched? Are you sick of the idea that we can go to war in Serbia and bomb the crud out of them, but we should stay out of Iraq? If the whole entire pop culture thing, Britney Spears, Super Bowl commercials, and all that stuff gets on your nerves, well, guess what? It gets on mine, too. So if you want someone to listen and understand, listen to me, Brett Rosen, every Tuesday, 10 a.m. on WGNU, 920 a.m.
Hey, girl. You made it just in time. Pastor's getting ready to start.
Girl, I really needed to be here this Sunday.
What happened?
You didn't hear?
Uh-uh.
Well, last week, Jennifer Florida, you know, the older woman?
Mm-hmm.
Her son went into the hospital for brain surgery.
Oh, my God. How old is he?
12 or 13. That's not the worst part. Girl, the worst part is that a bunch of aldermen went up to Jim Shrewsbury, and they asked him to say a special prayer for the child. Because, you know, they always start their meetings with a prayer.
That's right. They asked a special prayer, too.
Yeah, well, not last week. Because that Jim Shrewsbury said no.
What? He said no to a child having brain surgery?
Girl, that's right. And they said it's just because Jennifer Florida and her ward endorsed Lewis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen.
Lord, I'm going to have to pray for Jim Shrewsbury.
Well, I'm going to pray for him, too. But I'm certainly not going to vote for him.
Amen to that.
Paid for by the 6th Ward Progressive Democrats, Paul Shannon, Treasurer.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number, 454-6609. That is the fax. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up, get to me. We're going to be talking in the next hour, with the president of the Association of Police Officers in the UK. And we're going to be talking to him about the fact that this Police Officers Association is recommending that heroin be prescribed with to people with long-term addiction problems. We're going to be talking to the president of the Association of Chief Police Officers, ACPO, in the UK, talking about heroin and that it should be prescribed to folks that have long-term drug addictions. That's going to be in the next hour. My name is Liz Brown. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And if you want to toll free long distance me, do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. The website is lizbrown.com. You need to get up. Oh, yeah, you need to get to me because we have much, much, much business to tend to. I am looking at a story that is coming out of the from Washington. There has been a report, a post-ABC news report poll found that 53% of Americans favored setting a deadline for troop withdrawal. Among those who favored a deadline, 24% said that they would like to see our forces out in 6 months, 21% called for the withdrawal to be completed in a year. The rest who supported the timetable said they did not support withdrawing all the troops until at least a year from now. But they won out. And this is the first time that a poll has found that a majority of Americans supported establishing a timetable for withdrawal. Dee.
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
Good morning.
You know, the young man that called in that was saying that Barack's experience in America would be different from most of the Africans with the history?
Mm-hmm.
I can truly relate to that.
Okay.
Because, I mean, prejudice against blacks is rampant.
Mm-hmm.
He's still considered a black,
mm-hmm.
but he had a white mother,
mm-hmm.
and his expectations are different. And many, the thing that determines your progress in America many times is your education, your exposure, and what you have been brought up to believe.
Mm-hmm.
I have a white girlfriend who has a half black son. He went to jail three times. Now, the black people I've known that went to jail three times. Life, they threw, made it a forever thing. This young man got out and has truly turned his life around because his white mother was so adamant and they paid attention to her, even went so far as to become a minister to get in there in the prison to do some ministerial to get her son to play politics, and she got him out. It makes a difference. The skin color makes a difference. His educational level, which a lot of blacks have not been able to get because, you know, they're not so-called in the higher echelon, but there is definitely a difference.
Well, I'm not saying that every person of African descent looks at America the same way. I'm not saying that at all, but I am saying that there is a unique experience simply by being here
mm-hmm.
that we are all part of, that
right.
we all share. Absolutely. I grew up in a family let me put it this way. Everybody will have different life experiences as a person of African descent. Mm-hmm. If you grow up in a family at a certain economic level, you're going to have a different experience in America than people who did not grow up in that type of environment. Conversely, the same goes for people that grow up where the economics are more challenging. They're going to have a different life experience, and life could have possibly taught them something different than what life teaches other people. People of African descent who have a parent that is of a different race than a person of African descent, yes, oftentimes they have a different life experience than other people of African descent, but that does not deny the fact that they will experience things in this country that are exclusive to, irrespective of how you've been raised, that are exclusive to folks of African descent.
Some of us carry a purse, and some of us carry a suitcase.
That's true.
Barack got the purse, and most of us have the suitcase.
Well, I don't disagree with any of that. I don't, and I also would say that I would speculate, because I certainly this is pure speculation on my part in terms of the struggle that he has gone through. I speculate that one of the reasons why he did cocaine. And one of the reasons why he did pot was to because he didn't want to or was unable to deal with that. Deal with the fact of you are is irrespective of how, of the company of the people that you kept. when you were being raised. And I'll give you another example. If you are a child of African descent and you are raised by a white person or a white family in a completely white environment, you're going to have a whole lot of issues.
Yes, you're
going to have a whole lot of issues with people of African descent. Simply because your environment is teaching you that people of African descent have no value.
They're different. They think that they're different.
Well, absolutely. But the reality is that they ain't.
Absolutely not. But what we got to do is call Bill Clay, because you know how you were teaching us at Julia's Library?
Yes, ma'am.
About Jeff Smith?
Yes, ma'am.
Positioning himself?
Yes, ma'am.
Step into Bill Clay's place?
That is correct.
He better pay attention to us, because a lot of people want his job. We got to call him today and tell him he's not supposed to support any state takeover.
I got a call from his chief of staff when I got off the air yesterday, and he said that is not the congressman's position. I said, well, I need to read a statement from the congressman. Y'all need to put a statement out. You need to put a statement. He said, well, no, it was a misquote or quote taken out of context that was applying to something else in terms of he was supporting sub-districts. But I said, I read the quote. I saw the picture. I read the quote. That is certainly not what it said. The only conclusion to be drawn from that quote is that he supports a state takeover. And if there is going to be a statement from the congressman, I need to see one. I was told that I was going to be getting one. I don't have one yet.
Okay. Thank you, doctor.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Kevin.
How you doing, Liz?
I am outstanding.
Okay. You know what? Barack Obama grew up during, he was my age, and we were thrown into segregation. I went to school with white people in Missouri because we were the test dummies. And we've all grew up with white folks. My school was white until it got blacker as the years went on.
What about teachers? Did you ever have teachers?
All of them were white.
Okay.
All the teachers was white. We in the 70s, you know, they threw us into Berkeley. I'm going to use Berkeley because people know Berkeley. It's black now. But it was white when I went. And Barack Obama has the same experiences because they treat you. Racism is based on what you look like. Barack Obama does not look like the typical person. His pheno features. Or sub-Saharan African to me.
Okay, well, he looks like black folks to me. He looks like people in my family, people I've seen. He looked
right.
Black.
He looked black to me. That person that's mixed. I mean, you know, first generation that I've seen all my life. And I don't understand why he doesn't talk about racism at all, because I know he experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know that he's just like a lot of blacks. You know, Clarence Thomas was the same way. You can't tell me Clarence didn't experience racism, and look how he thinks. So it has nothing to do with your educational level. It has nothing to do with you have slightly different experience or because your mother was white, because, you know, the police, when they pull you over, they don't ask you if your mother's white.
They look at you.
And another thing, I've always said this. Racism is our only problem, not education, because we're very educated. We're published people from trade schools on to traditional colleges. If every black man in America had a PhD, it would just be it would be the same problem. It'd be a lot of black men locked up for economic crimes with PhD. Have a good time.
Thanks.
That's racism.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. If you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. Betsy.
Hi, Liz. I wanted to talk about the troop withdrawal that
you
were mentioning earlier.
I was talking about a new poll that came out of ABC poll that said that for the first time, the majority of Americans favor a troop withdrawal.
Hey, I work for a group called Veterans for Peace, and we don't think that 6 months, 1 year, that's not soon enough. We have far too many people dying over there every day, 2-3 soldiers a day. And we don't mention the Iraqis. The Iraqis die, you know, by the scores. 200 a day, possibly, are killed every day in Iraq. And there, just 6 months, in my mind, is far too long for this war to go on. We need to stop the funding, and we need to start immediate withdrawal.
And isn't that the question that should be asked of these candidates that are carving themselves? Since apparently this presidential race is starting so soon, then shouldn't we be asking that of the candidates, that we want a withdrawal right now?
That's exactly right.
And quit funding it.
A lot of the Democrats are playing this political game.
Yeah, they are.
And Nancy Pelosi, I feel is leading this game because, she's a Democratic leadership, and they're trying to do whatever they can to kind of play that safe road. We've been doing the Occupation Project here in St. Louis, and basically what we're doing is sitting in Russ Carnahan and Claire McCaskill's offices.
Right. You reported, you came on the air a few weeks back to talk about that you were going, that they had been nice to you in Russ Carnahan's office, and they said that they were going to let you sit there for a while. How'd that turn out?
You know what? We are still sitting there. This campaign has gone on since February 6th. And we actually have a group of veterans going back today who will sit there, and we've gotten a lot of good dialogue with them. However, Claire and us are playing that game.
Betsy, why don't you hold on for a second, okay?
Sure.
I'm gonna take a break. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back to continue our conversation. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather for the 7 o'clock hour. Southbound Earth City Expressway at Highway 370. Westbound, look for an accident. Right lane's blocked. Northbound 270 at Dorset and 70. Look for slow traffic in the 70 exit lanes. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well from mid-span into the Illinois Bank, or into Laclede's Landing from the Illinois Bank, I should say. Westbound 40 between McCausland and 170, look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB looks good. Westbound 270 at 367 through Graham Hanley, look for no problems to report. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry through Doherty Ferry, look for some delays around the 44 interchange. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake Manor through Mason, then again from Ballast through McKnight, you can expect some slowdowns there as well. Northbound 270 from Clayton Overpass and Ladue, look for a very heavy volume. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 270 is still stacked up, kind of. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270, that exchange is looking kind of sluggish around the 270 overpass. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44, look for some delays there. Eastbound 70 from 270 through St. Charles Rock Road is on the move. And northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, that ramp is a little slow, but moving well. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, mostly sunny, high around 50 this evening, partly cloudy until early morning, becoming mostly cloudy with a low in the lower 30s. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, high in the mid-50s. Wednesday evening, showers and thunderstorms likely, low in the upper 40s. And Thursday, breezy, showers and thunderstorms likely with a high around 60. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have few clouds. Otherwise, it's 27 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting some clouds and 30 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
I am a parent, and I live in the city of St. Louis. There is nothing that is more important to me than the education of children, and not just my children, but all children. Unfortunately, not all people feel the same. The state of Missouri is attempting to take over our public schools by eliminating our right to vote for the people that we want to run our school district. Well, you know what? The state is wrong. We live in the city of St. Louis where our children attend public schools, so we should decide who educates our children. Someone needs to stand up and fight for the protection of our children and our votes. That's why I'm going to vote Louis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen. He is the only candidate in this race who has said no to a state takeover. We need someone who's fighting on our side. So on March 6th, I'm taking my children and I'm going to the polls and I'm voting Louis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen.
Paid for by a committee to elect Louis Reed, Thomas Shepard, treasurer.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. We have much business to tend to, and one of the things that I'm discussing right now is this new poll, and the poll is being touted by the Washington Post about, and it comes out of an ABC poll saying that 53% of Americans favored setting a deadline for troop withdrawals. And among those favoring the deadline, 24% say that they would like to see the U.S. forces out within 61. This is a majority of those who want a withdrawal. And 21% call for the withdrawal to be completed within the year. The rest said they want a timetable, but they do not support withdrawing all the troops until at least a year from now. Right now we have a group of individuals that are taking this issue on directly by asking for positions to be taken by our elected officials on this withdrawal. And I have Betsy. Betsy, thank you for holding on. And talk to us again about your organization and where you are with Russ Carnahan's office on this issue of troop withdrawal and the position on Iraq.
Sure. It's the Occupation Project is what it's called, and it's a national campaign to basically go to our representatives of Congress and say, we are going to occupy your troops, just like you are occupying Iraq, until you decide to defund this war. And there's a lot of discussion whether defunding is the right way, but for some of us who work with veterans and for families of veterans, that is the only way to bring our troops home now. With Russ Carnahan, we've been there, like I said, from the 6th of February, and we're going to go back today. We're going to be there. People are going to be occupying his office, and people are going to be outside with big banners and whatnot. And on Thursday and Friday, we're gonna head downtown to Claire McCaskill's office because we've since she's decided to finally open her office here in St. Louis, and so we've taken our campaign there, not to target her, but to encourage her to join in and sign a pledge that says that she will publicly announced that she will stop funding the war. And interesting, we also talked to a member of Lacey Clay's staff last night, And Lacey, of course, has been so supportive of ending the war, and even saying here and there, you know, he doesn't want to fund this war. So we're even encouraging Lacey Clay to go ahead and publicly announce that he will defund this war as soon as possible, as a way to bring our troops home.
And what is Russ Carnahan's office saying? What is his articulated position?
He is saying that he wants to bring the troops home, that escalation is not the right thing to do, but he's not willing to vote against the funding. And he's going in and around and every which way around the issue, but it basically comes down to he says he doesn't want to cut off any needed materials or supplies or weapons or bullets from the troops. And he says that if we cut off supplemental funding, we can in turn hurt the troops. Not true. That money, that supplemental funding, if it's voted on now, may not get there for 2 or 3 years. You know, we have $70 billion already in the pipeline. That's enough to bring the troops home now and to end this war.
And to give them all the bullets that they need.
To give them all the bullets that they need. And, you know, Liz, my heart breaks when I talk to some of these family members. I spoke to Dr. John Johnson the other day, who is the father of Lavina Johnson.
Right.
Who is the first Missouri female soldier to have died in this war. And the struggle that his family is going through to just find out the truth of what happened to their daughter and why she had to die over there in Iraq from non-combat related wounds, you know.
And the other piece of it also, Betsy, is that the troops that do come home, I mean, I think that some of that supplemental funding would be well spent on, Walter Reed Hospital. You know,
exactly.
For taking care of the troops that are here, and maybe some of that money that's in the pipeline could be redirected to the denial that's going on to our soldiers that have gone over there. We have a military that is saying, you know what, I believe that back problem that you have right now as a result of that IED that blew up in Iraq, I think that you had that before you got to the military, so we're not going to pay you for that injury. Maybe that money that's in the pipeline would be well spent in fully funding everybody's injuries when they come back.
And that's a perfectly good point. We have so many soldiers coming back physically and mentally wounded. And the more this war goes on and the more that they're resent back to Iraq, it's just appalling, and the money could be used for such better things. Do you think it's great? The poll is great that the majority of people want them to come home, you know.
But I think it's really kind of about the education. I think if more Americans understood that we could defund this war right now and stop it, I think that's the poll that I think really needs to be taken.
Exactly.
And one more question with respect to the candidates that are running for office. Who amongst the leaders is saying defund this war?
Oh, none of them.
Mm.
None of them.
Mm.
In fact, the only people that we have really found consistently that are willing to reach out there, because I don't understand a lot of politics, Liz, but it seems like this must be a huge step for some of these people. The only person that has come out and really signed this pledge or taken this public is Ed Markey from Massachusetts. Although,
what about Dennis Kucinich?
Well, you know what? I think he has.
Yeah, I would.
Not part of this occupation project, but I think he has said
right,
that. Actually.
Right. Yes, he has. Yeah.
And Maxine Waters has actually mentioned this
right.
Here and there.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta love Maxine. So I think the more and more representatives that step up, especially well-admired ones like Maxine Waters, the more other congressmen will come out and, you know, kind of take that leap of faith and go with it, because we need that.
You make the point, you make the observation that this must be a big deal for them. All we have to do is remember Cynthia McKinney. If you want the history of what happens to people that speak out against this war and speak out against it very, very strongly.
Exactly.
So I think that is in the minds of a lot of folks. There's a lot of fear. There is a lot of fear. And, you know, and out of all the places for fear to be located in the heads of the people that are making the laws of this country, that's scary.
That is true, Liz.
That is scary. Betsy, please keep us apprised, okay?
Of course.
Thank you very much. You're welcome. And let us know what happens.
Thanks.
1-877-920-WGNU. Mary.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
You know, as I listen to people speak of Barack Obama,
mm-hmm.
When I first saw him, Liz, growing up in the neighborhood with kids when I was young, I know a family that had a black mother and a black father, and they were much fairer and lighter skinned than Barack Obama. So what would you think about a family, kids that's fair, look almost white, that doesn't have white parents? I don't see that very much anymore. Barack, when I first saw him, I thought he was just a light brown skinned black man until he mentioned in an interview that his mother was white. And from what I understand, she did not raise him. I think he said someone else raised him, if I'm not mistaken. But all this stuff about color, I've known kids that were so confused that came from a family that was, most of them were fair, some was fair and some was dark. They are just as confused sometimes as people that's fair-skinned because they don't like their blackness.
Okay.
So I just wanted to mention that. And then I had kids that I went to school with that had a mother, my first boyfriend. He looked white. He didn't even look black. His mother was black, but his father was white. And he was kind of confused when we were young from things he would say. When he would go places with his mother and she would be holding his hand, he told me that people thought she was his nanny.
Mm.
So I'm just telling you, it can come with kids that's even darker skinned sometimes if they're confused in a family where most of them are light.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they aren't light, some people are confused. Look at the dark man in that. But anyway, it's just a thing that can happen with people, whether they're light or dark sometimes.
It's living in America. Thanks for your call.
Okay.
Taking a break. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show. Every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
If you have a travel question, we'll try to find the answer for you.
Tell a friend and tune us in. 2 to 4 Saturday afternoon on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Lethea Owens with The Motivational Moment. I would like to encourage you to use persuasion instead of convincing when you're communicating with others and you are wanting to influence them. You see, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. When you use persuasion, people actually adopt your way of thinking. But when you convince people, guess what? All you get is compliance. So please join me on Mondays from 1 to 2 for Motivational Mondays, where your dreams become reality on AM 920 WGNU.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Down by the river, taking off my shoes. Jumping in the water, washing away these blues. Now there's an ocean, current takes hold. Words already been spoken. Tales already been told, hearts already been broken, wounds already been healed. Do you wanna be loved? Do you wanna be loved for real? Do you wanna be loved?
Oh. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get up. Get to me. Dimitri, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. I would like to talk about the withdrawal from Iraq. Excuse me. I think our good government is stuck between a rock and a hard spot. And the reason I say that is that if I sort of think about what happens next, supposing we do withdraw the troops, the thing that has to happen, I was in the military and I saw it personally. You either withdraw the troops and bring them home, but you have to leave the equipment behind because there's no one there to protect the movers. Or you send the equipment ahead, and then the soldiers are sitting ducks. So they really have no choice in getting out of Iraq. So what they're thinking of is that as long as they can't bring the Humvees, the thousands of Humvees and Abrams tanks back, and that soldiers are a renewable resource, according to the Pentagon. Why not just move them into Iran and stir up some problems there in Iran? What do you think?
I don't know if that. I am very concerned about the sable rattling that's going on with respect to Iran. I'm very concerned about the same type of language that's being used to build a case by this administration that apparently is being used to build a case to go after Iran and to distract us and to keep us locked into Iraq. I'm very concerned about that. So anything that this administration does that keeps us there, whether it is moving our people into Iraq or whether it is keeping us in Iraq and then starting a war in Iraq, it's all for the same thing. It's to keep the chaos going in the Middle East so that we can go in and steal the oil that is there.
Yeah, and I think the irony of the situation will be simply this, that when they do withdraw their troops, because the American people are speaking with a pretty loud voice, they're going to have to leave the equipment behind. And so what happens is that equipment is going to be used by Hamas, Hezbollah, and Sunnis, and they'll become the most sophisticated fighting force in the Middle East.
I think they're pretty sophisticated right now, given what they've been doing. But I get your point. I really get your point in that. And that is a story to be written of what happens to the equipment that will be left behind.
Yeah. The thing is, always ask the question, what happens next?
All right.
Okay. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Dimitri. 1-877-920-WGNU. Daryl.
Good morning, Liz.
Good
morning. How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
I see they went after Cheney this morning in Afghanistan.
Yes, they did.
You know, he's been over there bribing and twisting arms. I wonder if the American people knows how much money we've given each one of these so-called partners of this coalition involved. It's just like we pay them off. We promise them anything to get involved in this quagmire.
But I think that also reasoning behind or the strategy behind giving billions of dollars to, let's say, Pakistan, it's the same strategy that's behind the dope dealer that goes and gives free joints to kids, you know, a free little snoot to kids to get them hooked on it and dependent upon it so that you then can control them.
Right.
America is not doing it to be benevolent. They're hooking. How can Pakistan now say no to America, anything America wants, when America has hooked them on billions of dollars of money?
Right.
You know, the crack dealer on the street is not doing anything differently than what this government is doing with their money and giving money to countries. You hook them on it, and then you take it from them, or you make them do what you want, and if they don't, you take it from them.
We lost two more good soldiers this morning protecting that coward. I have nothing but contempt for it. I agree with what the minister said. The whole administration needs to be set down.
Mm.
That's where we need to go. That's the only way we can go.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. More than 1,000 military personnel have signed a petition urging withdrawal. Urging withdrawal. This is a big deal. This is a big deal that many of them have had enough. This is a major protest that is going on. And here's the question. There are going to be people that say that any of these 1,000 members of the military who have signed this petition asking Congress to end the Iraq war. One of the people that signed it said, we're not telling young men and women that it's not worth it to serve their country. We've served our country. The men and women who have signed this petition have served their country. So those, we're not saying it's not worth it. We're saying that if you have reservations about it, communicate it. By volunteering, we've done more than about 99% of the people that live in America. And anybody who joined the military after 9/11 when the country was at a state of war, it is my opinion that nobody has the right to question that soldier's patriotism. Nobody. There's one lieutenant commander who said, who signed this. He said, going public was one of the hardest things that he's ever done in his life. He was a combat surgeon who served in Operation Iraqi Freedom. He returned for a second tour, and now he treats soldiers at the Naval Hospital in California. The decision to sign this document was not an easy one, and I don't expect it was for anybody. Last night I was with my family in the park in our town, and it hit me at this very moment. While I'm standing here, people are fighting and people are dying. I've seen it with my own eyes. I can feel it in my chest. And he says, you know what, I would really describe this as less of a protest and more of a plea. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Youssef.
Yes, Liz. I agree wholeheartedly with the occupational group that's, taking, over, the various politicians' offices, with their stance on this war. It should be immediate withdrawal right now. Mm-hmm. The same way our forces went in, we can extract the same way, out. Okay, the same way they went in, they can come out. Okay, I mean, with the planes that's cover and with everything else, surrounding them, they can come out the same way. It's nothing to fear on that. But what I'm saying is, it should be no question in this country's or the people's country's minds about the fortitude that, we have or our young people have for defending this nation. But to do it for corporate greed, that's another thing altogether.
Has anybody heard of this administration threatening to use nuclear weapons in Iraq?
I haven't heard anything like that.
You want to know why?
Yeah.
Here's my theory. They don't want to mess up the oil. They don't want to taint the oil that is right there at the surface of Iraq. So they're not going to use any nuclear weapons there, but it seems to me that would be one of the options that's on the table, right?
Well, Liz, at the beginning of the war and even in the first Gulf War situation, Saddam and his armies, they did set a lot of the oil derricks ablaze, in an attempt to create a situation sort of something like that, okay? And that's what I remember the most about that, and that's almost an exact or close to a scenario that you're speaking of right now.
All right, got to roll. Thank you,
bye-bye.
Youssef. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, tell me, brother, how can you listen? It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you.
with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. The intended target was Vice President Cheney. That's what the Taliban is saying about today's attack on a U.S. base in Afghanistan. Where Cheney was visiting the troops, he's okay, but 9 people, including 1 American, were killed.
The Vice President actually heard the bomb go off. He told reporters that he heard a loud boom, and that very shortly after that, the Secret Service came in and said they needed to take him away and down to a bomb shelter on the Bagram Air Base. He was only in the bomb shelter for a short period of time before they realized that this was an isolated event. This was one suicide bomber, and that the base itself was not under attack.
ABC's Jonathan Carl with the vice president now in Oman. Iran is still blocking talks with the U.S. Its foreign minister said again today Tehran will not stop uranium enrichment. Move demanded by Washington, the U.N. Security Council is considering sanctions. Does race matter when it comes to a presidential candidate? How about gender? That's what an ABC News Washington Post poll wanted to find out less than 2 years till the 2008 vote. Polling director Gary Langer.
This poll finds that being a black or woman candidate attracts as many voters as it repels, but other attributes look like potential problems. 58% of Americans say they'd be less likely to support a candidate who's 72 years old, as John McCain will be next year, mainly citing religious grounds. 3 in 10 say they're less likely to vote for a Mormon, such as Mitt Romney. Other potential vote-losing attributes include Rudy Giuliani's 2 divorces and Barack Obama's smoking habit.
The survey of just over 1,000 adults, including an oversample of black respondents, has a 3-point margin of error. ABC's Bob Woodruff is back at work more than a year after he survived a roadside bombing in Iraq. He was in a coma for more than a month, had to learn to read, write, and speak again. Woodruff tells ABC's Gil Gross he's thankful for the attention he got, and he says more attention should be given to wounded soldiers.
These are patriots that have served this country, and they just need a lot more help.
This is ABC News.
Look, there, high on the shelf of your favorite drugstore. It's Maximum Strength Pepcid AC. It has the power to rescue you from the worst heartburn. Nothing is stronger and faster than Maximum Strength Pepcid AC at blocking tough stomach acid, not even Zantac. So feel free, eat, drink, be happy, and stop worrying about heartburn. Get Maximum Strength Pepcid AC. So effective, it's guaranteed or your money back. Visit PepsidGuarantee.com for more information. Use only as directed.
You're on the Ovaltine Nutrition Hotline with nutritionist Felicia Stoller.
Felicia, I know that flavoring milk is a good way to get my kids to drink more milk, but is there a difference in chocolate milk flavorings?
There really is. Compare the nutrition in rich chocolate Ovaltine to Nesquik powder and see the difference. Ovaltine contains over twice as many vitamins and minerals as Nesquik, so Ovaltine's more nutritious. And kids love the taste of rich chocolate Ovaltine. When it comes to nutrition, Ovaltine's the better choice.
More Ovaltine, please!
His film about global warming won 2 Oscars, but one conservative Tennessee group says Al Gore may be contributing more to the problem than to helping solve it. Here's ABC's Deirdre Bryant.
In the film, Al Gore urges energy conservation, but the Tennessee Center for Policy Research claims the energy consumption at Gore's 20-room estate near Nashville is 20 times the national average. Drew Johnson heads the organization.
He shouldn't talk the talk and not back it up by walking the walk.
Kaylee Kreider is a spokesperson for the Gore family and says the home is old and undergoing renovations to make it more energy efficient.
They're trying to install solar panels, and they're taking steps to try to reduce the number of emissions from their home, and that's a work in progress.
Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
This is your gray-haired captain speaking. The FAA may raise the retirement age for pilots, and a new study says it's about time. Found older pilots actually showed less decline in their aviation skills over time than their younger peers. Pilots are now required to hang up their wings when they reach 60. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a school bus driver has been suspended after allegedly photographing students on his bus. St. Louis County Police are investigating the 74-year-old driver for using his cell phone to take the pictures. Yesterday afternoon, Fairway Elementary School Superintendent Dr. Karen Hargadine sent a letter home to all parents at the school to explain the situation. The driver reportedly admitted that he took the pictures but said they weren't inappropriate. Until the investigation is complete, the driver has been relieved of his duties and removed from all Rockwood routes without pay. Funeral arrangements have been announced for a St. Louis area football player. Denver Broncos running back Damian Nash died Saturday following a charity basketball game. The 24-year-old Nash collapsed at his suburban St. Louis home and was pronounced dead at Christian Hospital Northeast. Visitation for Nash will be Sunday from 2 to 8 at the Ronald L. Jones Funeral Home on East Fair Avenue. The funeral will be Monday at 10 a.m. at the Friendly Temple Missionary Baptist Church on Dr. Martin Luther King Boulevard. Finally this hour, the Blues have traded Keith Tkachuk to the Atlanta Thrashers. The deal was announced yesterday by team president John Davidson. In return, the Blues will get first-round and third-round draft choices this year, a second-round draft choice in 2008, and forward Glenn Metropolite. If Atlanta re-signs Tkachuk, the Blues will also acquire a first-round draft choice in 2008. Metropolite played in 57 games for Atlanta this season and scored 12 goals with 16 assists. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Eastbound 44 between Lewis and Antire. Look for an accident. Left lane's blocked. That's near Antire, so expect stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 64 at Illinois 159 through Illinois 157. Look for an accident. Left lane's blocked. It's just west of 159, causing some stop-and-go traffic out in that direction over on the east side. Northbound 270, Dorset and 70, look for slow traffic around the 70 exit lanes. Westbound 270 from 367 through Graham Hanley, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Doherty Ferry, look for some delays around the 44 interchange. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79 is slow traffic there. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor through Mason Road and then again from Spady through McKnight, you can expect some delays. Westbound 5570 from 64 split into the PSB looks good. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from Monsanto onto the 5570 interchange onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for some slow traffic at the top of that ramp. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well from the Illinois Bank into Laclede's Landing. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and 170. Look for some slow traffic there. And westbound 64, that accident that was at 159 and 157 has just been cleared, but you can still expect some residual delays. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, mostly sunny, high around 50. This evening, partly cloudy until early morning, becoming mostly cloudy, low in the lower 30s. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy, high in the mid-50s. Wednesday evening, showers and thunderstorms are likely with a low in the upper 40s. Then Thursday, breezy, showers and thunderstorms likely with a high around 60. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 34 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 34 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, air.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
The truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And in my next hour, I'm going to be talking to the president of the Association of Chief Police Office in the UK. And he made headlines last week saying that heroin should be prescribed to people with long-term addiction problems. We're going to be talking about that. And with the director of the National Affairs for a Drug Policy Alliance. We need to talk about that, and that's what we're going to do in the next hour. My name is Liz Brown. Oh, my goodness, we have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. The toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. I just can't believe how much conversation we're having about the upcoming presidential elections. In 2008, every day there's a story out there about Hillary Clinton or John Edwards or Barack Obama. People are talking about this election, and I think it's a good thing. I think it's a fabulous thing that the discussion begins at this point, rather than people not paying attention to it until the debates. I think it's a great thing that we're having this kind of discussion then. And in that vein, I want to share with you a column that was written, an extraordinary column that was written by Bob Herbert. He's a man of African descent who writes for the New York Times. And the headline of this column is, Hillary and Bill, would-be connivers-in-chief? Ouch. Okay, I'm not a psychic, but I predict this ain't going to be good. This ain't going to be good for Bill or Hillary. Bob Herbert writes, if Bill and Hillary Clinton were the stars of a reality TV show, it would be the weekly series called The Connivers. The Clintons, the most powerful of power couples, are always scheming at something, and they're good at it. Their latest project is to contrive ways to knock Senator Barack Obama off his horse and muddy him up a little bit, actually a lot. Most of the analysis after last week's dust-up over David Geffen's published comments to columnist Maureen Dowd have focused on whether the Clintons succeeded in tarnishing the junior senator from Illinois. Yet no one questioned whether the Clintons would be willing to get down in the muck and start flinging it around. That was a given. When Obama talks about bringing a new kind of politics to the national scene, he's talking about something that would be different, that would differ radically from the relentlessly vicious, sleazy politics that have plagued the country throughout the Bush-Clinton years. Whether he can pull it off or not is an open question. But there's no question that the Clintons want to stop him. He stands between them and their dream of returning to the White House and resuming what they will always see as the glory years of the 90s. Huh. 1-877-920-WGNU. Connivers in chief. Ouch. 1-877-920-WGNU. There is no question that Barack Obama has certainly pushed Hillary Clinton and, you know, by extension, Bill Clinton into doing things that they have not, did not want to do and weren't ready to do. It's going to be interesting because it's just going to be interesting. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is now Hall of Famer Wade Boggs, and I'd like to talk to you about another exclusive group that I belong to that has changed my life. I'm talking about the thousands of guys who, just like me, have decided to take control of their hair loss and regrow their hair permanently with the pros at Medical Hair Restoration. The best thing about this club is that you see the rewards every day. Having my hair back has made me look and feel younger than I have in years. And that's the ultimate vote of confidence.
If you're balding or thinning, Medical Hair Restoration, the nation's leader in microsurgical hair transplantation, wants to send you a free DVD package explaining just how easy and painless their hair replacement procedure is. Call 800-410-1832. That's 800-410-1832. Take control of your hair loss and get this free information package sent to you with tons of before and after pictures and testimonials. There's no cost, no obligation. Call 800-410-1832. That's 800-410-1832.
Tune in every Thursday at noon to 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
Our city has some real issues that deserve the full-time attention of our elected officials. Crime, education, and healthcare are just a few. So why is our current aldermanic president spending more time in his law office in St. Louis County than in his office in City Hall?
I'm Alderman Lewis Reed, and on Tuesday, March 6th, I need your vote to become the new President of the Board of Aldermen, because you deserve more than part-time attention. You deserve a President of the Board that's 100% focused on building a stronger St. Louis and safer neighborhoods. So on Tuesday, March 6th, vote for me, Lewis Reed, as your new President of the Board. Paid for by Committee to Elect Lewis Reed, Thomas Shepard, Treasurer.
Informative. Educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Safiri.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, Ms. Brown, how you doing?
I am outstanding. How are you?
Yeah. I have two questions for you today. Okay, one question is, actually, who determines a race of a person in the United States? Another question is, this teaspoon blood rule, was it a codified rule or was it just a traditional rule?
Do you mean the one drop of blood?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
The one drop of blood. Well, I guess it depends on how you define codified. I'm going to go to your second question first. With respect to the one drop of black blood, making you a person of African descent in order to discriminate against you, was codified in some places. It wasn't codified as a national policy, but it was codified in some places, and it was practiced in other places. And the purpose of that law was not to truly determine a person's ethnic makeup, but it was an attempt to make certain that certain people, there's just so many evil components to that law or those rules or those practices. It was a statement saying, okay, we don't want any white people marrying people of African descent. Or if a white person does have a child with a partner who is of African descent, that person will always be discriminated against because that's the power of an African descent, that we will hunt it down, find out about it in order to discriminate against you. So that was the purpose of that. And to your second question of who determines race in this country, I think that the way that race is, there is a genetic ability to determine what a person's ethnic background is, whether it's Kenyan, whether it is Nigerian or Ghanaian, all of that, or Slavic or French or whatever, all of that can be determined almost to an exact science now with DNA. But insofar as the other piece of who determines race from the perspective of, again, the breaking of the law, like the one drop of blood, of black blood law, it is all physical. It is all about what I see. And that is why you see people that are Asian that are, but to some people in America, they look like they're black. And they're stopped the same way that people that look like they're black are stopped. So, and that's why oftentimes when you see photographs of people of Iraqi, that are Iraqis, oftentimes the photographs that you see that are being used to whip people into frenzies are darkened up, or the most African looking face is put out there as the face of an Iraqi.
Oh, okay, but I have many questions now. Okay, is it like when you file up for application, because I had a friend who was filling up application for a Pell Grant, And to me, he looked white. But when you fill up his application, he put down black.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, I didn't know why he was doing it, but the lady inside the office, she was angry at him for doing that. But I later found out his grandmother, her complexion, she was just as black as me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what, I mean, now, does the government tell the parents what the race of the child is, or the parents can decide that this child is going to be white or it's going
to
be black?
You know what? I don't know the answer to the question, because I'm thinking about, okay, on a hospital form, when a child is born, can the parents say that a child is African when the child is white? Can the parents say that, where both parents appear to be white? Or both parents are of European descent. There's no question about it. Can they put on their baby's birth certificate that their child is of African descent? I don't know the answer to that. I think that would be a very good question, or a very good thing to try to find out, is who does determine that? Would there then be, if a parent insisted upon putting on the birth certificate that their child was of African descent, irrespective of what their parents look like, or irrespective of what the parents' ethnic makeup is, I wonder if they would be allowed to do that, and if they weren't, who then would step in to make that determination? I think that's an interesting question. I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is.
Oh, okay. This last question was, this drop of blood rule, did it apply to Native Americans, or Chinese Americans, or Japanese, or it only applied to African people?
Only applied to African people and white people, as far as I know.
So between African and Chinese, or Indian, I mean, Native,
it didn't make a difference. It didn't make a difference, because it's a given that both those could have to be discriminated against. It didn't make a difference.
Okay. All right, so thank you.
All right.
Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly, thank you for calling. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Dr. Brown?
Yes, ma'am.
It depends on what the nurse will accept.
But if the nurse says no and the parent presses it, then who decides?
It depends on how much they press it and how weak the nurse is, because they can put on there anything they want to.
But what I'm saying is that if the nurse, there isn't any official policy that says the nurse decides that. That is something that just works out anecdotally in a hospital. And there aren't any rules on the books in the hospital that says if a parent who is of European descent decides I'm going to put my child as of African descent on this, there's nothing in the hospital that the hospital can say that you can't do that.
That's right. But you can do it, because they will accept your word 9 times out of 10, because they don't want the problem. The nurse don't want the problem.
But nurses' problems of wanting it or anything aside, there is no policy that is written. I'm asking, is there a policy in the hospital that says that if the parent insists on this and the nurse disagrees, then the nurse's position rules? There isn't anything like that, is there?
It wasn't when I was in there. You know, like maybe 10 years ago, the nurse could make the decision.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't fight it because they got too much other work to do.
Yeah, so if a parent, whatever a parent, so you're telling me that basically it comes down to whatever the parent wants.
That's right.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for the call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am. Liz, could I ask you if your mother... It's like my mother, my daddy married an Indian lady.
What kind of Indian? A Native American? An indigenous person here?
They were the black Cree. That's all I ever knew that they were. That my daddy and mama told me it were.
Okay.
And then my daddy was a Negro. Now, what are they?
That's the question, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
And how have you defined yourself?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm asking you, how have you defined yourself?
I define myself as a human being on earth, and that God help me.
I understand, but how have you also defined yourself? Do your children call themselves people of African descent?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, all right.
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. Mary.
Listen, I'm going to say this quickly, if I may, Liz. I know this for a fact. I'm not telling you what I heard. If that white In my neighborhood, there was a white lady married to a white guy. When she went in the hospital and we went to see her, she had white on her child's birth certificate, she said, because she was white.
Okay.
They accept what the mother is quickly. And that child played with my son and I guess you've seen my baby son that has MS, right?
Yes, ma'am.
He was very fair, and he was fairer than her child, okay? That's all I want to say, Liz.
1-877-920-WGNU, Otis.
Oh, yes, and my four children that are in public school have the opportunity, and it was told to me by the Board of Education, that it's according to which one is the best opportunity for them. They can declare they are black or white, and they can change that twice while they're in the public school system. Let's say that there's a school opportunity for a white kid, like it was in the magnet school, and the program was open to white kids. My kids could put on the application that they are white and then get enrolled. Now, they can change that again when they're in, let's say if there's an opportunity, they need more black kids in a school and the kids want to go, they can change it to black. But my kids will tell you that they are Malcolm X.
I just think that's gotta mess with your head.
It messed with my boy's head. He got militant.
That's gotta mess with your head. Thanks for your call, Otis.
All right.
My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Northbound 270 between 55 and Doherty Ferry, look for stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 44 from Lewis through Antire Road, look for that accident to have been cleared near Antire, but you still have stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 70 from K through 79, look for traffic to be easing this hour. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Mace through Mason, and again from Spady through McKnight, you can expect slow traffic. Westbound 270 from 367 through Graham Hanley, look for slow traffic. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and 170, look for traffic to be easing. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge, look for that traffic to be easing from mid-span on in. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from Monsanto onto the Poplar Street Bridge, that ramp is looking good. And westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well from the bank through Laclede's Landing. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, mostly sunny, high around 50. This evening, partly cloudy till early morning, becoming mostly cloudy with a low in the lower 30s. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, high in the mid-50s. Wednesday evening, showers and thunderstorms likely with a low in the upper 40s. And Thursday, breezy, showers and thunderstorms likely, high around 60. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 34 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 34 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is your Congressman, Lacey Clay, asking for your vote on March 6th to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson. A vote for Williamson is a vote for continued progress, continued redevelopment, and safer neighborhoods. He is my choice and the right choice to continue leading the ward. Alderman Frank Williamson has earned the right to be your alderman for another 4 years. Vote to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson on March 6th.
Paid for by Committee to Re-elect Frank Williamson, Thelma Williamson Treasurer.
This is Alan Brainerd. Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. No matter where you live, no matter what your lifestyle, you'll find out how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. My guests and I will give you the 411 on everything from classic design to the newest decorating trends. Join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411 every Wednesday at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your home.
I am a parent, and I live in the city of St. Louis. There is nothing that is more important to me than the education of children, and not just my children, but all children. Unfortunately, not all people feel the same. The state of Missouri is attempting to take over our public schools by eliminating our right to vote for the people that we want to run our school district. Well, you know what? The state is wrong. We live in the city of St. Louis where our children attend public schools, so we should decide who educates our children. Someone needs to stand up and fight for the protection of our children and our votes. That's why I'm going to vote Louis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen. He is the only candidate in this race who has said no to a state takeover. We need someone who's fighting on our side. So on March 6th, I'm taking my children and I'm going to the polls and I'm voting Louis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen.
Paid for by a committee to elect Louis Reed, Thomas Shepard Treasurer.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. I'm listening to, or I listened to. The report about who America would vote for, and I think it's very fascinating to kind of try and deconstruct what that means. The survey, I believe, said that Americans were more inclined not to vote for somebody, for president, that was older, that was in their 70s, than they were with respect to race or gender. In fact, there was a poll conducted by GFK Roper Public Affairs, and it said that Americans believe that a woman president would be as good at or better than a man at leading issues of foreign policy, homeland security, the economy. So this poll is saying that America has a problem against age, not race, and not gender. And you know what? I ain't buying that. I believe the bias against age, because I see that all the time. But I'm not buying that America is going to vote for a black man to be president or a woman to be president. I'm not buying that. And who's going to put it down in a survey? Who's going to respond to a survey to say, I'm not ready for a black person to be president? For real. Most people don't want to say that about themselves. And the reason that they don't want to say that about themselves is because of what they feel it says about them. And secondly, they really haven't examined themselves as to what their beliefs are with respect to that. I mean, yeah, ask yourself. If you really believe that, ask yourself where you live, where you've chosen to live. Ask yourself who you've chosen to work for, who you've chosen as your doctor, who you've chosen as your lawyer, who you've chosen as the school and the people that educate your children. Ask yourself what books you've chosen to read. Ask yourself what newspapers you choose to read. Ask yourself what movies you choose to go to. Ask yourself what television programs you choose to watch. Do a little analysis. Do a little, what's the word I'm looking for? A race resume. And look at the choices that you have made in your life. And then ask yourself, have the choices that you've made in your life been consistent with your position or your articulation that you would choose to have a black person to be president of the United States? I'm not saying that this is an exact science. I'm not saying that 1 + 1 = 2. But in the process of examining how you feel about race in this country and the role of people of African descent in the issue of race, compare the choices that you have made to what you say that you're going to do. And then ask yourself if you're really going to do that, if you really would consider doing that. If everything in your life that is a choice has been made one way, I gotta believe, or I was certainly it is not illogical to conclude that when you make this next choice, it will be consistent with all the other choices that you've made in your life. If your schools, if your teachers, if your books, if your magazines, if your newspapers, if your television shows, if your movies, if your friends, if your neighborhood, if your job, if your doctors, if your lawyers, all of the things that you can choose to bring into your life are consistent with, looks like I choose white 99% of the time. I guess I think it's a fair question to ask. Are you going to break the mold this time? That's the question that needs to be asked. I can't answer it for everybody in the world. I just raised the question of it. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. Bob.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I want to say quickly, I think the answer to that question might be in the poll that was just taken as to whether or not the rest of the American people felt that other states should apologize for slavery as Virginia has done. And it was, I think, 58% that said no, that they should not apologize. So
for enslavement.
Where they are.
Well, I think the easiest thing to do, even if you don't even get to the question of your feelings about enslavement, but the issue of look at the choices that you've made in your life and measure them in terms of color.
And they are built in. They are in the heart and the head. So it's hard for people to change. And I'm like you. I doubt if they're the way they're going to destroy Obama and Hillary over the next 20 months. No one will want to vote for them.
Well, but I think that. My feeling about both of them is that, yes, there will be an effort to go after them, but our responsibility is to look at their record, and it's hard for me to, I will always point out the going after of people, but I'm also going to look at your record, and I ain't impressed with either one of their records.
Thank you.
Right.
What I wanted to change the subject on this was I'm listening to our administration and our government and many people in power saying that we could fight another war, which would be the third war if we had to, or a fourth war, and we could win. And I don't understand this. We've been fighting a war with a country, two countries, that have neither a army, a navy, air force, not one plane, ship, and for 4 or 5 years, and we haven't been able to win over them. Matter of fact, things are getting worse. And for us to say that, I don't know what people in this revolution that you've been speaking of for years, I think if it's going to come, it's about time. But I listen to them now saying that we are giving money to the Sunnis to fight the Shiites because we're trying to get a force within to help us defend against Iran. And then they say, well, we can't upset Iran because that would upset Afghanistan. And if that upsets Afghanistan, then we can't upset Pakistan. And Pakistan would be upset because they're with India, and Turkey will be upset if we upset the Kurds in the north. So what is this stupidity that we are still going through thinking that we could win wars when we've been fighting one for 4 years against a country with nothing and we're not even close to winning?
I think the answer is simple. I think the answer is within chaos there is opportunity. If we have the oil needs that this country has, it is a lot easier to get them from a country that is destable and in chaos, or to get those needs met from a country that is in chaos or unstable as a result of our own mucking about in that country. So there is a plan to this. This isn't about democracy. This isn't about weapons of mass destruction. This isn't about stability. This isn't about helping another country. It's about helping ourselves to stealing their oil.
It has to be, because we have to remember that we didn't start this mess yesterday. We supported the Sunnis to remove Russia from Afghanistan, and we also
were
giving money
with?
To the Taliban
Who
at
we
that
work
time
with?
To do it.
Who do we work with?
Yes, and we supported Iraq against Iran in the war that they fought for 8 years.
That is correct.
So we need to get our act together.
The well, it depends
in America
on who the
need to say,
okay, all
vote
right.
out these fools.
And the we you're talking about are not the people that are chasing and stealing the oil. It's the Americans that sit silently on the side of this issue and don't agitate and don't get out there to change this.
That is true.
Thanks.
And the Congress, which isn't worth a prostitute on High Street.
Thanks for your call.
Yes.
1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. We have much to talk about.
Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs, Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
Get a free Razor cell phone delivered free to your door. Don't want a free Razor? Then go to letstalk17.com and choose from hundreds of other free phones. Join 500,000 users who found the smartest way to buy their cell phones. Never pay retail again. At letstalk17.com, you can compare prices on phones and service plans from all the major carriers. Find the coolest new phone at the coolest price. Find the best current special offers. Read what folks have to say about their phones and plans. They actually rate and review their phones and service plans so you know which ones to pick. Do it all in the comfort of your own home. If your plan is ending, now's your chance. Try your new phone risk-free for 7 days with free 48-hour shipping. Letstalk17.com is the only way to get the absolute best deal possible. Right now, get a free Razor after $50 mail-in rebate. This is an exclusive online offer at letstalk17.com. New two-year service plan agreement required. One-time wireless activation and early termination fees may apply. Go to letstalk17.com. That's letstalk17.com.
Nothing can be truer than the phrase, all politics is local.
That's why Liz Brown is adding the automatic watch to the award-winning wake-up calls lineup. Every Monday at 7 a.m., Liz will be joined by Alderman Lewis Reed to discuss the comings and goings of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. Do you want to know the latest bill passed? Do you want to know why it passed? And do you want to know who voted for and who voted against? Well, you're going to have to join Liz Brown when she talks aldermanic politics with Alderman Lewis Reed every Monday at 7 a.m. Lewis Reed is going to bring local politics up close and personal, and you never know who else will be joining the discussion. The Aldermanic Watch, every Monday at 7 a.m., only on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
How you make me feel. Though I'm with you, I am far away, and nothing is for real. When I'm with you, I'm lost for words. I don't know what to say. My head's spinning like a carousel. Silently I pray. Helpless and hopeless, that's how I feel. Nothing's real, but all is possible if God is on my side. When I'm with you, I'm in light, but I cannot be found. Is that the one I'm standing in? The place called common ground.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
On the subject of who picks the presidency, and the previous gentleman said, let's vote all these clowns out, clean house. I agree with him. But they'll only be replaced by more clowns. It's owned by the same stables. In car racing, you have a group that may own six cars and they're all racing against each other, but the same group owns them. And horse racing is the same way. Guy may have four horses on the track, but they're the same guy owns four of them.
I think if that were the case, then it would make sense for people to give up. But that is factually, and specifically about the presidential race, factually that is not the case. A Dennis Kucinich is not the same as a John McCain. A Dennis Kucinich is not the same as even a Hillary Clinton or even a Barack Obama or a John Edwards. Are they all paid for by our tax dollars? Yes, that's the nature of the same person that works in the welfare office is also paid by our tax dollars. I think that is not a, I think it's a tempting conclusion to govern your political life by, but it is not factually accurate because they are not all the same. Are a lot of them problematic? Absolutely. But are all of them the same? Absolutely not.
Well, take the Harrimans. They control the Clintons. There's Eastern Bloc, there's Eastern groups
up
there, old wealthy families.
I don't disagree with that.
They pump the money into these candidates.
Well, again,
and they put them up.
You keep saying these candidates, and to me, these candidates means all candidates, and I'm taking exception to that all candidates are not funded the same. All candidates do not have the same, at least in this race at this time, they are not all of the same. They're not all funded by the same people.
One more quick observation, I'll get off here. Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying. If I say I'm going to take you to dinner and you can have lobster or steak, I've chosen what you're going to eat. You're either going to eat lobster or steak. Well, that's the way I feel about these candidates up there. They've been chosen out of a stable and the power group up in the East.
So you're saying that Dennis Kucinich was chosen by the same person that chose Hillary Clinton?
Well, he may not have been chosen, but he'll be bought by them. If they want him to get elected, it'll be their money that elects him.
Okay, and again, Yes, somebody could predict that, but to base my decision on how I'm going to act politically based on the proposition that he will be bought when he gets in there says to me that he would be like a lot of other people. He's had an opportunity to be bought before, and it hasn't happened.
I would vote for Dennis Kucinich.
Well, he will be an opportunity for you to vote for him. So there you go.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, we've got a little disagreement going here on how I feel about how this is all controlled about wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't, it's just my belief that we don't have a chance because it's all controlled by wealth. But yet I've voted every election mm-hmm. since I was 21.
Mm-hmm.
Made some good choices, made some bad choices.
All right.
Have a good weekend.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. The toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. And in the next hour, I'm going to be joined by the director of the National Affairs for the Drug Policy Alliance, talking about how the president of the Association of Chief Police in the UK made headlines last week by recommending that heroin be prescribed for people with long-term addiction problems. What? People that are addicted, give them heroin and give them heroin by prescription? Oh, yeah, we're going to have that conversation in the next hour. And this was the president of the Association of Chief Police Office. 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. And don't forget the website, Liz Brown, LizzBrown.com. Ralph.
Yes.
Good morning.
Oh, I'm on it. Yes. Hey, listen, you're kind of sneaking up on the idea of voter nullification in various processes of the government. And I feel that a great deal of the politics is local, although they're not admitting it, by the state trying to take away the ability of the people to vote on the school board issues. They're really nullifying the highly politicized vote. What I really want to say is this. Regarding this effort, this putting in this petition to slow down and the state from taking over the school process in St. Louis, I know today is not the day where you're soliciting the funds for the legal firm down in Jefferson City that's handling this, but I'd like to make the point that people out there listening, those that can make a more substantial contribution, not a $5 or $10 contribution, but if they dropped $100, $500, or even $1,000 a check in the mail, trusting you to have researched this firm, which in talking off the mic with you, I got a clear impression that this is an established firm with an established record of fighting hard in Jefferson City.
That's right.
For the rights of people. And they need to know that this is not just a group of people that have come together and they're trying to raise funds, and they may or may not get around to doing much good, but this is a firm that's got a solid record of making progress, and they're as you said to me, this is a lawyer's dream, this case, because
yes,
there are a lot of flaws in it, and they need to be pursued. And I think that people out there shouldn't sit around and think, well, there's all those poor black people, and if they just send in their $5, hell, a lot of them might have to send the kids out for a stamp. And if they want to call in and say, look, I want to give you some money, but is there somebody could pick it up? Well, I'd like to see how long that list would go, but it would be so much simpler if people that could write a $500 check or even a $1,000 check and maybe not go to the thrift store quite as often for a couple of months. And let people that wouldn't miss it in a month or two, and it would mean so much to them to make this contribution where it needs to be made, And maybe it'll be part of really getting us over the hump to where the state has suddenly realized they're not going to sit still while the mayor or whoever is responsible for this, and I'd sure like to see all that come out, that somehow they're organized enough to where some citizens are not going to wait for just the poorest of the poor to get organized, because they've got us hung up by the media right now. We can't organize without the media and without a voice, and so we need to get some funds into this law firm's hands so that they can do the legwork necessary to file these petitions, do the research, document them, and do the legwork to get them in there and back and forth. And that may just take a few thousand dollars to get it started, although I'm sure they've submitted an estimate of what they think their fees would be, and you've been saying $30,000, $40,000. That sounds like a lot of money, and a lot of people are going to say, well, what
is it? It's not. It's not a lot of money.
It's not.
If 80 people sent, what is it? 80 people sent for $500?
Well, when I say it sounds like a lot of money, there's somebody sitting there wondering, well, shall I send in $5 or $10? And
mm-hmm.
It may sound like a lot, but you and I know it's not a lot of money.
It's not a lot of money at all.
I don't know how much you've got together so far that you know of, but
we've gotten
to know how it's growing.
Okay, and I will get an official report on that today. Okay, Ralph.
If it'll do any good, that'd be great.
But thank you.
Those people that can. Write a $500 check.
Write it.
Glad of it.
Right.
I'd like to see some of those people step forward.
Me too.
And represent the millions of people that would have a hard time letting go of $10.
Very good. I love that point. Thank you so much,
bye-bye.
Ralph. 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. I'll have that address for you when I come back in the top of the hour. Stay with me.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. As many as 23 people are dead after a bombing at the U.S. air base in Bagram, Afghanistan. The blast occurred as Vice President Cheney was visiting troops, and the Taliban says he was the intended target.
The Vice President is now in Oman. He's concluded that surprise visit to Pakistan and Afghanistan. It's a visit that lasted longer than he anticipated because bad weather forced him to spend the night at the Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan, making him the highest-level Bush administration official to actually overnight in a war zone.
ABC's Jonathan Carl with the vice president. At least one of the victims was American. An Iraqi official says President Jalal Talabani is recovering after he collapsed over the weekend, but still is not ready to go home yet. He's being hospitalized in Jordan for exhaustion and a mild lung infection. What really matters to you when it comes to choosing a presidential candidate? Gender, race, age? That's what an ABC News Washington Post poll wanted to find out.
The biggest potential vulnerability is old age. More than half of those polled by ABC News and the Washington Post say they'd be less likely to vote for a candidate over age 72. John McCain turned 72 in August of 2008. Americans say they are least likely to not vote for someone because of their race. Nearly 90% said it wouldn't matter to them if a candidate were black.
ABC Stephen Portnoy, the survey of almost 1,100 adults, including an oversample of African Americans, has a 3-point margin of error. Many doctors prescribe an aspirin a day to prevent heart attacks in men over the age of 50. Now a study says that same aspirin or other painkiller could raise their blood pressure. ABC News medical editor Dr. Tim Johnson.
In the vast majority of cases, we think the benefits of taking low-dose aspirin on a daily basis outweigh any risks for high blood pressure.
ABC News Money Scope. The markets are way down in early going. The Dow is up 125 points and the NASDAQ is down 40 points. This is ABC News.
Look, there.
there, high on the shelf of your favorite drugstore. It's Maximum Strength Pepcid AC. It has the power to rescue you from the worst heartburn. Nothing is stronger and faster than Maximum Strength Pepcid AC at blocking tough stomach acid, not even Zantac. So feel free, eat, drink, be happy, and stop worrying about heartburn. Get Maximum Strength Pepcid AC. So effective, it's guaranteed or your money back. Visit PepsidGuarantee.com for more information. Use only as directed.
You're on the Ovaltine Nutrition Hotline with nutritionist Felicia Stoller.
Felicia, I know that flavoring milk is a good way to get my kids to drink more milk, but is there a difference in chocolate milk flavorings?
There really is. Compare the nutrition in rich chocolate Ovaltine to Nesquik powder and see the difference. Ovaltine contains over twice as many vitamins and minerals as Nesquik, so Ovaltine's more nutritious. And kids love the taste of rich chocolate Ovaltine. When it comes to nutrition, Ovaltine's the better choice.
More Ovaltine, please!
It's a who's who of who patronized a hush-hush business. Here's ABC's Gil Gross.
Her name is Jody Gibson, though everyone called her Baby Doll. Now the question is, who really called her? The Los Angeles Times reports her book out Thursday, and evidence just unsealed by the courts shows names like Bruce Willis and Tommy Lasorda. Willis' attorney says his client has no idea who Gibson is. Former Dodger manager Lasorda says he never heard of her, and if she prints this, he'll sue. The best quote comes from former Texas Lieutenant Governor Ben Barnes, who once claimed helping a young George Bush stay out of the draft. He says, "I've never met or talked with this broad in my entire life." He says he has no idea why her files have his cell phone number. Gil Gross, ABC News, Los Angeles.
A Washington State woman will have plenty of time to think about what she says she's done. She'll probably get jail time after admitting that she had her children pretend to be mentally retarded in order to collect thousands in state and federal assistance. By the way, authorities say this went on for 20 years. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Ransmeyer with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, the battle over Illinois electric rates is continuing. Public outcry over huge rate hikes has led to the Illinois legislature putting pressure on Ameren UE. The Illinois State House will hold a rare joint session today to discuss the problem and take public testimony. Local leaders want to roll back the electric rates and freeze them. However, Ameren has a contract that allows it to raise the rates, and the company could sue to enforce the contract. The state does not plan to take any official action at this point. A local taxi company's operations have been suspended. The agency that regulates St. Louis cab companies has suspended the operations of Allen Cab Company. Last week, cab drivers reported that they weren't getting paid and hadn't seen their boss in weeks. Harry Haggard, who owns both companies, was reportedly found safe late last week in a hotel in southeast Missouri. The Missouri Taxi Cab Commission has said that it will do all it can to help drivers find employment at other cab companies. Finally this hour, the Blues look to get back on the winning track tonight when they host the Vancouver Canucks at Scott Trade Center. The Note are hoping to recover from a 5-1 loss to the Blackhawks in Chicago on Sunday. St. Louis has earned points in 15 of their last 21 games overall and have won 4 of their last 5. The Blues are 0-1-1 against the Canucks this season. Game time is 7 o'clock. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Northbound 270 between Teston Ferry and Graboy, look for stop-and-go traffic due to an accident. Two lanes are blocked, or two left lanes, and it's north of Graboy, so expect some delays there. Southbound 170 from 270 through the airport, look for slow traffic due to a lane being closed. Excuse me. St. Charles Rock Road, both east and westbound at Lindbergh, look for stop signs in place as signal work is in effect there. Westbound 70 at Broadway, look for road construction, right lanes closed. Westbound 270 from Lindbergh through McDonald Boulevard, look for traffic to be building due to the right lane being closed. Eastbound 270 from McDonald through Lindbergh, there's a lane closed causing some slowdowns there as well. Westbound Kingbridge, traffic's moving well into the landing. Westbound Poplar Street Bridge is looking good from 5570 merge all the way in to downtown. Eastbound 40 from Boone Bridge through Clarkson Valley. Look for no delays. Eastbound 70 from K through 79. Look for no problems there. And then again from Earth City Expressway through St. Charles Rock Road. Everything seems to be on the move. Northbound 270 is looking good around the 70 exchange. Just look for some slowdowns in that right lane as you approach the 70 exits. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, mostly sunny, high around 50. This evening, partly cloudy until early morning, becoming mostly cloudy with a low in the lower 30s. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy, high in the mid-50s. Wednesday evening, showers and thunderstorms likely, low in the upper 40s. And Thursday, breezy, showers and thunderstorms likely, high around 60. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, look for 35 degrees and mostly sunny skies. Lambert Fields reporting 35 degrees as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound at the below, that the below knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how
the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up, you need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. My guest this hour is the Director of National Affairs for the Drug Policy Alliance, joining us from Washington, D.C., Bill Piper. Bill, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Very good. I saw some headlines last week about the president of the Association of Chief Police Office in the UK making a recommendation. Talk to us about that.
Oh, sure. Basically, he recommended expanding Britain's program that prescribes pharmaceutical-grade heroin to long-term hardcore addicts. And it's something really the UK has been doing for some time in various forms. It used to be widely available for decades, and then they kind of backed away from it from political pressure for the U.S. But the last couple of years, they've basically have been expanding the programs in London and in Northern England and in other sections.
And what's the theory behind this? And again, this is prescription heroin to people with long-term addiction problems. What's the theory behind this?
Well, the theory is that first, by making heroin available, you can draw out the very long-term, hardcore, problematic drug users that the public health community is probably not going to be able to identify. So you get them off of the street, you get them into a clinic, and then you stabilize them. And one of the biggest problems that heroin users face is they're always worried about where the next fix is. They can't think about anything outside of that. And what you see is when that's taken care of and you say, okay, we're going to have pharmaceutical grade for heroin for you, don't worry, that they begin to stabilize their lives, begin to think about, okay, what's next in my life. And so their employment increases, their use of welfare decreases, they reconnect with their families, crime decreases because they no longer have to commit any kind of crime to support their habit. And you undermine the black market because drug dealers make the large bulk of their money from hardcore drug addicts. And so if you take away those clients, the drug dealers have nothing. And so they've found basically where they've done this in England, that they improve the lives of the users and their families, and they reduce violent crime, and they save taxpayer money, and they make the community better off. And that's the experience the other countries that have tried this.
I can hear those on the other side of this issue saying, well, what about creating a brand new generation of the whole there's no consequence to your action philosophy, that if we're giving pharmaceutical heroin to people that use drugs, doesn't that encourage young people to go out and to engage in drugs, knowing that, well, you know, if I get hooked, the government will pay for that?
Well, it's only for certain very hardcore drug addicts that haven't been able to respond to other treatments. And at least where it's been tried for a long period of time, England, Switzerland, Germany, and the Netherlands in particular, but Spain, Australia, and Canada are also starting to get into it, that they don't see this problem. In fact, they see the reverse, that the average age of drug initiation is actually increasing. And it may very well be because it becomes less and less profitable for drug dealers to
go after a younger market.
Because I mean, they're not going to make any money selling to casual drug users or selling to someone for the first time. The bulk of their money is in these hardcore addicts.
The repeat.
It is a common complaint that the opposition says, you know, that somehow it's surrendering or giving up. But it's really the opposite. I mean, if you look what we've been doing in the U.S.
And we're going to hold that thought because we have to take a break. I'm talking to Bill Piper, Director of National Affairs for the Drug Policy Alliance, joining us from Washington, D.C. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio, to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Previously on the Sloan Ranger program.
How come we don't call the government nuts? Because they have sometimes outlandish conspiracy stories. When the government does it, apparently it's okay, but when anybody else does it, then it's wacky. Speaking of that, how come Hillary wasn't called a nutcase for her vast right-wing conspiracy theory that allegedly explained the Monica Lewinsky affair, and nobody ever called her a conspiracy nut? Which is exactly what should have happened. Should have been laughed off the Today Show.
For the smartest talk on radio, it's the Sloan Ranger Show. Weekdays at 5 o'clock. Only on AM 920 WGNU. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My guest this hour is Bill Piper. He's the Director of National Affairs for the Drug Policy Alliance, and he is joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about this headline story in the U.K. that Association of Chief Police was making the recommendation that heroin be prescribed for people with long-term addiction problems. And, Bill, one of the things that you mentioned before we went to break was that Great Britain had this policy or policies similar to this a while ago, but because of pressure from the United States, they kind of backed off of that. Can you tell us a little bit about that? How did the United States involve itself in the drug policies of Great Britain?
Well, I mean, the U.S. involves itself in the drug policies of every country, really. I mean, for instance, Mexico came really close to decriminalizing possession of drugs last year and wanted to basically say, you know, we're not going to put you in a criminal justice system. We're going to get you help. And you know, the drug czar went down there and raised hell, and they basically reversed their position. So they do this pretty much everywhere. I mean, kind of drug war extremism is one of our biggest exports.
Mm.
And so they raised, you know, a little stir, and then, you know, conservative politicians kind of wanted to back away anyways. But you know, over the last couple of years, they've more or less have been, I wouldn't say secretly, but they've had a kind of a low-key experiment in a few places that has worked so well that, you know, one of their top cops is now saying we need to expand this program significantly, and that's actually what the police in other countries are saying as well that have looked at it, because it very significantly reduces crime. It's like one less thing for them for the police to worry about. They should be going after you know, the violent criminals.
Okay, so we have a war on drugs in this country. How do we compare to other countries? How do we compare with other countries in our war on drugs?
Well, I mean, you know, we've had this war on drugs for 7 years. The last 30 years has been really escalated, and we've spent hundreds of millions of dollars. We've incarcerated millions of Americans. I mean, last year alone, 1.7 million Americans were arrested for a drug law offense. So it's a real war with real consequences. So we spent all this money, arrested all these people, yet drugs are readily available in every community. You know, the price of heroin and the price of cocaine are at 30-year lows. Their purity levels are at 30-year highs. So anyone who wants to get drugs can get it. It's just been a monumental failure. So it's, you know, it's time really to start thinking about alternative approaches. I mean, one of the problems is that we've been so focused on the supply side, and the basic economics tells you that as long as there's a demand, there's going to be a supply, and we haven't invested in reducing the demand. I mean, anyone who wants to get treatment should be able to get treatment, you know, whenever they need it and as often as they need it. Until we have that, we're never really going to be able to deal with the drug problem, because we'll just be warehousing people in prisons.
Don't we have a different philosophical understanding of drugs in this country and drug usage in this country? In other countries?
Yeah, and that's one of the obstacles. If you go to Canada or if you go to Europe or pretty much, you know, anywhere, at least in the Western world, drugs and drug policy They're more focused on what's pragmatic. Well, how can we reduce the harms associated with drug use? How can we make drug users better off? How can we make their families? How can we protect society? How can we protect public health and public safety? In the U.S., the focus really is more of a moral one, that using drugs is immoral. Well, I should say using some drugs is immoral. You know, using alcohol or tobacco or Prozac or any of the other legal drugs is fine, but the use of illegal drugs is seen as somehow this moral issue, and that, you know, drug users are just portrayed as, you know, instead of people with a disease, they're portrayed as kind of, you know, scum or parasites, and much of it is very moralistic, and that makes, it's a challenge for us drug policy reformers, I think, to kind of change that climate so that, you know, people with drug problems are seen as people, and so that the focus of our drug policies becomes, you know, what works.
Well, and doesn't race factor into this as well?
Oh, race definitely factors into it. The history of drugs in the U.S. is really just the history of racism. I mean, all our drug laws kind of originate from that. The first marijuana laws were geared towards going after Mexican immigrants. The first opium laws were geared at going after Chinese immigrants. It's always been kind of a proxy at going after communities of color.
And we can even trace the implementation or crack versus coke powder cocaine in terms of the amount of time that you get for possessing the same thing.
It's a huge disparity. Possession or sale of 5 grams of crack, which isn't very much, it's about 2 sugar packets, will automatically get you 5 years in federal prison with no possibility of parole. But it would take 500 grams of powder cocaine to get you the same sentence. So it's a 100-to-1 disparity, and it's creating these huge racial disparities and huge class disparities because, you know, you need powder cocaine to make the crack. And so what happens is you have people that bring in large amounts of powder cocaine into a community. If they get caught, they get almost nothing. But, you know, the people that are turning it into small amounts of crack will get the big sentences, even though they're very clearly at the very bottom of the trade.
And that's guaranteeing that the business will continue because the big fish will always be there.
Oh, right.
And the little fish can always be gotten.
Yeah. And you know, there's this kind of, we have this kind of Vietnam-like body count statistics that policymakers and the police look at. So people care about, well, how many people have been arrested, and how much drugs have you been seized? And that's pretty much all we look at. And if that's your goal, well, then you know, the easiest way to fulfill that goal is just to go out and arrest every low-level drug offender that you can. And those tend to be the people all standing on the street corner who, in more cases than not, are using drugs themselves and are selling drugs to support their habit. So you go and you arrest 100 of them and say, woohoo, we arrested 100 drug dealers, but you've done actually nothing to reduce the availability of drugs or to reduce the harms associated with drugs. And, you know, one of the things Drug Policy Alliance advocates for is a new bottom line, that we need to move away from caring really about how many people we arrest and how much drugs we seize to asking the more important questions of, you know, is drug addiction going up or down? Is drug overdoses going up or down? You know, are all the problems associated with drug use going up or down? And then, and I think this is critical, we have to ask ourselves about all the negative consequences associated with our drug policies, racial disparities, lost civil liberties, broken families, et cetera. Are those going up or down? And, you know, the optimal drug policy would be the one that best reduces the harms associated with both drugs and our drug laws.
And when we look at the types of laws that have the industry of laws that have come out of our drug, this so-called war on drugs, one of them that to me that points to the racial disparity and the class disparity, and also a PR opportunity to demonstrate that you're tough on crime, is the policy about drugs in public housing, except for apparently the White House. So
right,
talk
right.
to us about this drug law and its implementation and some of the legacy of this drug law.
Yeah, there's a lot of collateral damage to our drug laws that last for a very long time. So, for instance, anyone who's been convicted of a drug offense is barred from public housing for life. Doesn't matter if their offense was
except the White House.
Except for the White House.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's only the poor people, the people that actually need housing.
Mm-hmm.
You could live in the White House. You can live in the governor's mansion.
And all that's public housing too.
Yeah, no, it's definitely all public housing,
mm-hmm.
and they're allowed, to stay despite their drug offenses. And you know, it's not just housing; it's public assistance, TANF, food stamps, et cetera. In some states, you can't even vote for life, and so there's enormous barriers for people who want to get their lives back together.
And one of the things I'd like to talk about, because we're getting ready to take a break here, Bill, but one of the things I'd like to talk about when I come back are some of the I guess, human faces or human stories of this collateral damage, particularly as it pertains to the enforcement of the drug policy with public housing, because there are some really, really horribly sad stories out there as a result of that, aren't there, Bill?
Okay.
Aren't there some really horrible stories out there?
Oh no, yeah. There are families. You know, it's interesting. Like, there's families, for instance, you can be kicked out of public housing not for something that you do, but for something that someone else does. So there's many cases in which a grandmother takes in one of their daughter's kids. That kid is arrested, say, for marijuana possession, not even in public housing, but halfway across the city. That automatically means not only is he kicked out of public housing, but she's kicked out of public housing. So there's entire families being kicked out for the drug offense of one. And it doesn't matter if the drug offense is minor or major. It's a huge barrier. When you consider there's 1.8 million drug arrests every year, that's an enormous amount of people that are going to be barred from public housing, barred from TANF. Can't even get school loans in many cases, and so it's.
And hold on,
where are these people going to go? It's a whole underclass that's being created.
And hold on to those thoughts. We have some more to talk about with Bill Piper. He's the director of the National Affairs for the Drug Policy Alliance. He's coming to us from Washington, D.C. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
City of St. Louis, there is nothing that is more important to me than the education of children. And not just my children, but all children. Unfortunately, not all people feel the same. The state of Missouri is attempting to take over our public schools by eliminating our right to vote for the people that we want to run our school district. Well, you know what? The state is wrong. We live in the city of St. Louis where our children attend public schools, so we should decide who educates our children. Someone needs to stand up and fight for the protection of our children and our votes. That's why I'm going to vote Lewis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen. He is the only candidate in this race who has said no to a state takeover. We need someone who's fighting on our side. So on March 6th, I'm taking my children and I'm going to the polls and I'm voting Lewis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen.
Paid for by a committee to elect Lewis Reed, Thomas Shepard, treasurer.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care. Still connected to the community.
What America needs is affordable health insurance. Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I've found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds, those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work, to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Like a flower waiting to bloom, like a light bulb in a dark room, I'm just sitting here waiting for you to come on home and turn me.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I am talking this morning to the Director of National Affairs for the Drug Policy Alliance, joining us from Washington, D.C., Bill Piper. And Bill, I'm wondering, as we look at these forced evictions, some of these stories are just heartbreaking. The story of a tenant who was 75 years old and disabled, and his offense was having an in-home caretaker who had been cited for narcotics and paraphernalia, and he was evicted. I mean, and there were no drugs found in his house, and a lot of these, there aren't any drugs ever found in these people's homes, and a lot of times the people don't even know that the people that have had any kind of brush with the law about drug stuff. Does it seem?
Yeah, there's no due process rights. I mean, they don't even need to convict you or anyone of it. They just need to have a suspicion, really. It's completely without due process.
And has this been challenged in the courts?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. I assume that it has, but
I
don't know the answer to that. I mean, I do know that a lot of members of Congress that are interested in these kinds of issues, especially within the generally, the Congressional Black Caucus has been leading the charge on this and a whole host of other issues.
So when we look at the drug war that is being that waged in this country, can we talk some more about some of the problems with this war? Okay, the problems of the collateral, some of the collateral damage to it. What are some of the other problems with this so-called war on drugs?
Well, I mean, well, for starters, it actually exacerbates the harms associated with drug use. So, for instance, in many states, if you make it hard to make sterile syringes, for instance, available, and the government in a lot of areas, you know, block the sale or the free distribution of sterile syringes, that what you see is that you see massive increases in the spread of HIV/AIDS, hepatitis, and other diseases, and so. That's one example of where the drug policy actually makes, you know, the harms associated with drug use worse. Another example is that, you know, the more that local law enforcement arrest and prosecute people simply for possession and for drug use, people become afraid to call 911 when their friend or family member or loved one is overdosing. And this is a huge issue. We have a bill right now in New Mexico which is passed out of committee, and we're hoping to pass it through the legislature, which would, you know, basically pass a Good Samaritan law that says if you see someone that's overdosing and you call 911, then you're not going to be prosecuted for your drug use, and they're not going to be prosecuted for their drug use. And that's one of the biggest reasons. Because, you know, if you look at heroin overdose, for instance, heroin overdose takes 4, 5, 6 hours before one enters it, and before one dies. So it's easily reversible, very easily reversible. You just got to get people help right away. Well, what happens in many cases is that people stand around debating, should we call the police, should we not call the police? No one should be afraid to call an ambulance.
But also then we go back to the whole forced evictions piece. What do you do if somebody in your home has a heroin overdose and you live in public housing? Do you call?
That creates, yeah, that creates a very interesting dynamic. And I would say, yes, you most certainly should call to save that person's life.
But
the consequences of it will probably be that person would go to jail and you'll be kicked out of public housing. And you shouldn't have to face that kind of dynamic. No one should have to face that kind of dynamic. You should be able to call 911, get help for that person with, you know, no questions or very little questions asked. And you should get to keep public housing.
And let alone lose your home because of a call. Because of a call. No, when a 16-year-old is having a response to inducing alcohol, nobody in America is going to lose their home because you call the ambulance about that.
Right, right.
And that's illegal, too. I mean, it is illegal for underage kids to have drugs, but you're still not going to lose your home because of it.
No, you're not going to lose your home. I mean, there are cases of people, of college students, for instance, being afraid to call 911 because they're all underage.
Mm-hmm.
And so there have been cases of people just dying from alcohol poisoning because their friends
exactly.
are too afraid.
Exactly.
So that does happen, but they don't, at the very least, they don't have to worry about losing they're certainly not going to lose their home.
Let me get to a couple of callers here. 1-877-920-WGNU. Raj, you have a question for my guest, Bill Piper.
Yes, I'd like to know, is there any law, because I was just victimized that way 4 months ago, where a tenant was used, the police even caught this tenant with drugs next door to my apartment, and they victimized my son. And for that, I had to move.
What do you mean when you say
St. Michael's Apartments. I was living in St. Michael's Apartments over on South Spring. The tenants that lived next door were selling drugs. It was reported that they were selling drugs. But my son came to visit me and hadn't even made it to my house yet. The police stopped him for a summons. And they found no marijuana. My doors has never been kicked over, but they evicted me, and I had to buy a home, something I cannot afford, just 4 months ago. And I'd like to know if there's anything that can be done about this, because it's ridiculous.
Thanks for your call, Raj.
Mm-hmm.
Well, without knowing the full facts of the case, I'm not surprised, especially, I mean, it essentially... What this drug war has created is that everyone is a suspect, and in particular, people of color are suspects. And so the police, we've gotten to the point where police would just pretty much search anybody, and they routinely violate people's rights and throw them against the wall and search them. So it doesn't surprise me. I'd be willing to bet that the police in this case, I don't know if the caller said something to them or in any way defended the kid,
mm-hmm.
but... Police definitely don't like when you assert your rights. But I don't know if what they did was legal or not legal.
But there are.
I do know in many cases the police go to landlords and tell the landlords, oh, this person has a drug problem, or they associate with known drug dealers, and you need to kick them out. And if you don't kick them out, we can take away your entire apartment complex. And landlords get scared and end up kicking people out. You know, no kind of due process rights.
And
that happens all the time.
And I want to kind of underscore this whole no due process rights. There's no trial held to see whether or not this person ever had any drug issues. There's no identification oftentimes of who this supposed drug person is. You cannot appeal a decision by, I mean, is that
right.
what we're talking about?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and in many instances, that's the case with public housing. That's the case when they browbeat landlords into kicking you out. You know, under the laws of most states, they can actually seize your property without even charging you with a crime. And because if all they have to do is allege that the property was paid for by drugs or was somehow used for drugs, and then in most states, it's the burden of proof is on you. So they could seize your car and say, okay, we have evidence that you loaned your car to someone who bought drugs with it, therefore we're taking a car, and you would have to go into court and prove that your car is innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens all the time. They get a lot of money, a lot of vehicles, without actually prosecuting anyone. It's essentially highway robbery. I mean, people should at least have to go into a court of law and prove that you've committed an offense before they can take away your property or kick you out of your housing.
1-877-920-WGNU. Clifford, you have a question for my guest, Bill Piper.
Yes. Good morning, Liz. Good morning to your guests.
Good morning.
Yes. I was just thinking about, you know, the situation over in Afghanistan. You know, they tell me that that's the largest producer of the poppy plant, you know, and which is where heroin comes from, I guess. You know, and I'm just wondering, you know, is this just another way of empowering pharmaceutical companies at the expense of the government? You know, because what I hear right now, you know, is the boogeyman, you know, and then after the boogeyman, you know, the opportunity, you know, to get this program in effect and what have you know. But I'm just wondering, you know, could this be, you know, part of what's happening over in Afghanistan, you know?
Could what be part of what's happening in Afghanistan?
To give addicted, long-term addicted drug users, you know, the opportunity to get their heroin from pharmaceutical companies, you know.
Oh, thanks.
Under prescription.
Okay, thanks for your question.
Thank you.
Kind of like a reverse of what we were talking about, Bill.
I don't necessarily think there's a connection. I mean, obviously, what they're trying to do in England is give people pharmaceutical-grade heroin so that they're not going into the black market and getting it, where it's much, because it's cut with all sorts of things, it's much worse, it's more potent, more likely to overdose, and because it's coming through the black market, you're kind of fueling the black market.
So, in effect, if every country had this kind of a law, then the black market would not be able to, I mean, there wouldn't be the kind of need that there is right now.
Oh, it'd be completely, it would take completely wiped out, but mostly wiped out, because the profits would no longer, I mean, basically these kinds of proposals, what they do is they kind of take the profit out of drug dealing. And if it's not profitable, people aren't going to do it. And so you can actually undermine a black market that way. And it's much more effective than, say, what the Bush administration is trying to do in Afghanistan, which is basically go in and destroy the crops, the opium crops, of poor people who have absolutely nothing. The only thing they can grow in some regions is opium. And we go in there and we basically take away their livelihoods, and, you know, they can't feed their families, and they get upset, and they're starting to turn against the U.S. There was a report that came out last year from the United Nations and World Bank that found that poor farmers are beginning to support the Taliban, and it's beginning to destabilize the country. And so, you know, and it's, you know, it basically shows, I mean, wherever you go, the war on drugs is really a war on the poor, whether it's the poor farmers that are growing it to feed their families, to have, you know, that we're not providing them any other alternatives to poor people in the U.S. or London. You know, they're the ones bearing the brunt of the drug war. And for them, we have, you know, basically a jail cell, but, you know, for people with money, you know, they can get drug treatment and at a second chance.
And where is...
And, you know, they can get into the governor's mansion.
Yeah, and the White House.
Right.
Where can people find more information about your organization?
They could go online to www.drugpolicy.org. .org.
Okay. And I am talking to Bill Piper. He's the Director of National Affairs for the Drug Policy Alliance. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. I'll get back to some of your calls, questions, and comments when we come back to continue our conversation. Stay with us.
This is your Congressman, Lacey Clay, asking for your vote on March 6th to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson. A vote for Williamson is a vote for continued progress, continued redevelopment, and safer neighborhoods. He is my choice and the right choice to continue leading the ward. Alderman Frank Williamson has earned the right to be your alderman for another 4 years. Vote to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson on March 6th.
Paid for by Committee to Re-elect Frank Williamson, Thelma Williamson Treasurer.
Are you one of those people who look at somebody who's big boned and think that's just a euphemism for Twinkie enriched? Are you sick of the idea that we can go to war in Serbia and bomb the crud out of them, but we should stay out of Iraq? If the whole entire pop culture thing, Britney Spears, Super Bowl commercials, and all that stuff gets on your nerves, well, guess what? It gets on mine, too. So if you want someone to listen and understand, listen to me, Brett Rosen, every Tuesday, 10 a.m. on WGNU, 920 a.m.
Hey, girls. You made it just in time. Pastor's getting ready to start.
Girl, I really needed to be here this Sunday.
What happened?
You didn't hear?
Uh-uh.
Well, last week, Jennifer Florida, you know, the older woman?
Mm-hmm.
Her son went into the hospital for brain surgery.
Oh, my God. How old is he?
12 or 13. That's not the worst part. Girl, the worst part is that a bunch of aldermen went up to Jim Shrewsbury, and they asked him to say a special prayer for the child. Because, you know, they always start their meetings with a prayer.
That's right. They asked a special prayer, too.
Yeah, well, not last week. Because that Jim Shrewsbury said no.
What? He said no to a child having brain surgery?
Girl, that's right. And they said it's just because Jennifer Florida and her ward endorsed Lewis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen.
Lord, I'm going to have to pray for Jim Shrewsbury.
Well, I'm going to pray for him, too. But I'm certainly not going to vote for him.
Amen to that.
Paid for by the Sixth Ward Progressive Democrats, Paul Shannon, Treasurer.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm talking this morning to Bill Piper, the Director of National Affairs for the Drug Policy Alliance. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. And, Bill, welcome back. Let me get to a caller or two here. Okay. Tim, do you have a question for my guest, Bill Piper?
Oh, yes, I do, Liz. I'd like to thank you for having a guest on and also for having this topic also.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I want to ask him. I was locked up for marijuana, and now I'm on supervised release, and I wanted to ask some question. If I have family that's in public housing, is it okay for me to visit them?
Thanks.
Thanks
for your question.
Yeah, I believe it's okay for you to visit them. Although I'm not an attorney, and I should say that the public housing rules also differ from district to district. Which makes it, there's no one set rule, which is part of the problem.
And it's absolutely.
But I would say that it's probably okay for you to visit them.
I think I would check first because
I would probably check first as well.
You know, because I'm looking at this case out of Oakland where a tenant, a person by the name of Pearlie Rucker, is facing eviction from the Oakland Housing Authority because her mentally disabled daughter had a possession of cocaine 3 blocks away from the house. So, you know, she's facing eviction. Her daughter didn't have any drugs in the house. Her daughter just was arrested for possession. She hasn't been convicted, and she's facing an eviction based on that. So I would check. I would check with the housing authority. In fact, I would even get something in writing from the housing authority wherever you live because there's too much at stake.
Yeah, definitely.
So when we talk about this war on drugs that we have in this nation, should we also talk about the way that the war on drugs has been funded, Bill? Can we talk about the Brian Grant program?
Oh, okay. Basically we've spent hundreds of billions of dollars on interdiction and eradication and arresting people with very little to show for it. Now, the Byrne Grant Program, which is a federal law enforcement grant program that goes to the states for crime prevention, some of it's actually used for good stuff like drug treatment and some diversion programs, although you know, most of it ends up going to police and incarceration. And what's particularly troubling is that in pretty much every state, there are what's known as regional narcotics task forces, which basically is a collection of police officers from different regions, from different could be like local and state, could be different cities, et cetera. And it's kind of an informal association. And they get almost all of their money either from this federal grant program or through asset forfeiture, basically keeping what they seize, which, you know, is a conflict of interest. And what we see that these task forces are very prone to corruption and scandal. And in state after state, you know, there are just all these problems. You know, in Tulia, Texas, you know, the regional narcotic task force went in and, you know, arrested a tenth of the town's black population solely on the word of one undercover officer who didn't have any videotape, audio tape. They searched people's houses
and also,
any drugs or any money, and it was just his word against theirs.
But also, it's not simply an undercover officer who had this statement, but it was uncorroborated, and a cop with a history of lying and a cop with a history of just the most rank racism.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he actually used the N-word several times on the stand, which obviously didn't hurt his case. And now eventually the people in his case were pardoned, but it took 4 years, so he spent 4 years in jail. It took massive media attention, and, you know, the NAACP Legal Defense Fund had to come in, and I don't know how much they spent, but it was probably significant in lawyers. And that's just one example, and that probably the only reason that even made headlines was that there were people in Texas that were fed up and that were willing to organize and were willing to take chances because, you know, the town they were organizing in, a white conservative town, it's not easy speaking the truth. And then they got national media attention. But this kind of stuff happens.
And this was, I mean, this
all
was
the time.
And it would have never, but for racism and the history of racism and the legacy of racism in this country, is 16% of the town's entire black population was arrested. Racism, if there wasn't any racism, plus somebody would have said, wait a minute, something has got to be wrong with this.
But right. Yeah, and it, I mean, he got a law enforcement award of the year. Now, he since was later found guilty of a whole host of offenses, including lying on a stand.
Go figure.
I think in a different case.
Mm.
You know, one of the good things actually to come out of that incident was that the Texas legislature passed a lot of good reforms. And it's interesting because it was a collection of civil rights leaders and Christian conservatives that got together, and they banned racial profiling, they passed treatment instead of incarceration, and they passed a law that says you can't be convicted of a drug offense solely on the uncorroborated word of an undercover informant. You have to have some kind of evidence.
You had to be fingerprints, another witness, audio tapes, surveillance tapes. And particularly when they're undercover, they have access to all of that audio tape kind, I mean, more often than anybody else. If you're undercover, you're there to get the information. So there should be something to be able to corroborate other than your word.
Yeah. I mean, the officer claimed that he wrote kind of the history of all the drug sales down on his leg. But then he took a shower and he lost all that information. So, I mean, it's clear he was just making things up. And it was only several months after that corroboration law passed that the scandal broke in Houston. There were a lot of men of Mexican descent, some here legally, some here illegally, that all had similar cases. They were all arrested in their homes or in their businesses for possessions of very large amounts of heroin. None of them had a history of drug dealing. And as it turns out, because of this new law and because they needed corroborating evidence, the defense attorneys in those cases were able to get the prosecutors to test the drugs. And what they found out was that they weren't drugs at all. They were actually ground-up sheetrock that's used in construction. And so the informants, most certainly the informant and possibly the police officers are still all in court, were planning fake drugs on people, and this is probably going on for years, because the way it works is that the drugs under Texas law before then are only tested when you go to trial, and most people plead out.
Wow.
So you have all these people that went to jail or were deported to Mexico on fake drugs, and the informant in this case made $200,000 over the course of 3 years.
Wow.
Being his informant. So
and then don't we also have to look at the other implication of this, or the other impact of this is, think of all the people that were, if they went after Mexican people or people of Mexican descent and they were deported, then they can never come back into this country.
Yeah, they can never come back. And it's unfortunately some of the people that were in jail were let loose. But unfortunately, there was a significant number of people who signed agreements, basically giving up their right to ever come back to the U.S. in exchange for not being prosecuted.
And how could I'm sorry, I'm a little upset about this. How can we live in a country where you can be charged with drug possession and you can't test it until you go to trial?
Yeah, it happens. It happens all the time. And thankfully for this new law, managed to force them to test it. But it makes you wonder how often things like this happen. And, you know, it's not that hard. It's not that even hard for them to plant real drugs. I mean, we know in the Rampart case in L.A. that the narcotics police were planting drugs on people they didn't like. I mean, in one case, they planted drugs on someone who was sleeping with one of the cops' girlfriends. And then they actually shot him and claimed that he had a gun, and they planted the gun too.
And then doesn't it also look like there? I mean, this is something that when you have a case like the one where the drugs tested turned out to be sheetrock, but they got the big sexy headline of we got all these drugs and we arrested all these people and there were no drugs.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's so important that we as a nation at all political levels, we need to move beyond this kind of, what I said earlier, the Vietnam-like body count statistics. That because we make this focus on how many people can be arrested and how much drugs can be seized, there's this perverse incentive that law enforcement face to go after low offenders, to cut constitutional corners, to plant drugs. I'm not saying...
Or to make up the drugs...
Law enforcement officers out there and they put their life on the line every day, but they face these kind of perverse incentives. And I really blame the policymakers. Because it's the policymakers that care about these meaningless statistics. I mean, we've been seizing, you know, millions and millions and millions of drugs and arresting millions and millions of people, and it's had no effect whatsoever on the availability of drugs or the harm that they're causing.
And
it's never going to have an impact.
Give us your website, please, Bill.
It's drugpolicy.org.
Very good. Bill Piper, Director of National Affairs for the Drug Policy Alliance, thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Wake Up Call.
Sorry, thank you for having me.
Take care.
Bye.
Now. Listen, folks, I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, thanks for listening and stay strong.
There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew.